morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday.
Happy birthday.
Happy Thursday.
Whoa. Dawn's with us.
Here I am.
She is in a fantastic mood. And awake.
That's because I strategically fell asleep during the movie we watched last night instead of after, because I knew I was going to get up early.
Yeah. You win. You win.
I'm tired.
Yeah, that movie was long.
It was long. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But
I didn't want to get into the big conversation of movie last night. It was okay.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. The bat! Never mind.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
It's yeah, too it was early.
Too early. The acting was fantastic.
Yeah, it was
totes.
So, anyways.
We watched American Hustle.
Yeah. Team Austin Morning Party, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, lots.
Dawn, you're going to talk about your special thing.
That's right. I'm working with a new nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
I can tell you guys a little bit about.
That'll be cool. We shall do that. How long have you been rocking with those people?
It's been, over a year now, I guess.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited whenever I get the chance to work with them.
So that's going on right now.
Right here in Albuquerque.
Whoa.
It's the first one
in Albuquerque, right?
I don't know if it's the very first, but it's okay. The very beginning
let's
of
just,
us working
let's
here.
Let's just say it is. It sounds so much
the
better.
The very first time we'll ever be in Albuquerque.
First time.
So
all the info for you in just a little bit.
There you go. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Aspen Project. Today, Michelle Schroff's going to be joining us.
Yeah.
Which is great. So we're going to be talking Project Zoe, what's going on there. Obviously, it is Theology Thursday because
yes,
it's obviously.
Thursday, so obviously,
because I mean, the word, on. The names, the name Thursday. Of the day starts with a th.
Thursday.
Th.
So I'm excited about that. We're going to be talking about the Morning Star.
Morning Star.
There's multiple times in Scripture where they reference the Morning Star.
Mm.
There are times where it's used in reference to Lucifer and times for Christ. So what is the difference and why the reference for both, as well as talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the historical accuracies, how we can prove it. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Boom.
Jared Petro, Brian Nixon going to be joining us. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, me too.
The day before Good Friday, we're gonna get down. So,
I'm excited too.
Yeah, guys, Easter is coming.
Yes.
Easter is coming.
Are you excited?
Sure I am.
Whoa. Sure you are.
Man. She got sleep last night.
That's fine.
Gosh.
That's okay.
You be chipper.
I'm here to keep you guys all afloat.
Look, give
in
me
your sea
15
of
minutes.
Despair.
Give me 15 minutes and I'll be awake.
Yeah?
Yes, because
okay.
I've got this coffee.
See, yeah, I need to start working on dealing with the coffee in the morning.
Give me 15 minutes.
7 a.m. SOPA opens and that's when I'm like, yes, I can do this. Until then, I'm here.
Yeah.
But I'm not here. I am here. I'm just like
here I am.
I'm just like normal here.
Doug's here. Speaking of people being here,
yeah, he's intern
in the,
Doug.
He's in the other room. His mic's going to work today.
It's gonna work today, Doug. We believe in you.
Woo!
We're excited. So
we've got no proof yet, but
yeah, yeah. So that's coming up. Also, we have to talk about the gentleman who wrote his own obituary before he passed away. I kind of feel like question of the day.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
Especially going into a resurrection talk.
We talked about this earlier in the week. Did you hear about the guy who wrote his own obituary?
I did not hear about it.
It was three words.
Really?
He wrote his own three-word obituary and said, "This is my obituary. You must use this. You may not deviate from it. Here it is."
And can it be read on the air?
Yeah, absolutely. It says, "I am dead."
Nice. Mm.
The end. Like,
wow.
I added the end. Sorry. See, I already changed it.
I am dead.
I added to it. You can't add to it. Guy
that's
wrote
hard.
His own obituary, used three words. "I am dead." And that's it. Period. That's what he wanted.
All right.
So we thought, you know, a little fun. Three-word obituaries.
Three-word obituaries.
Yeah. So.
That's hard.
It is. Sum up your entire life in three words. Go.
Man, even if I didn't want to sum up my life, even if I just wanted to send a message, three words is not very long.
"I love you."
Mm. Yeah. I mean
you know, if you wanted to send a message.
But once that's taken.
Yeah, I know. What
I
other,
love you.
But I love you.
You're just going to say about, that to everybody
how about
that walks
this one?
Up to your grave?
I got one.
Yeah.
I love I'm you. Not dead. Uh-huh. That's what I'd go with.
Y'all ought to be saying God's not dead.
I was just about to say. They'll say God's not dead, but I am. Wait.
But
that's
I am.
Six.
But not. Because, and then you get into the theological, like they're tagged on to your gravestone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got a great show for you today. Dawn Michelle is here.
Here I am.
She's going to be talking about her new, well, not new, new to us, new to our area, the nonprofit organization she's a part of. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited too.
Be cool.
It's a great organization.
We're going to be hanging out with Michelle Shroff. We got Theology Thursday. You can get your questions in now. It's simple, studio at mystaticradio.com.
Yeah.
That I mentioned, Good Friday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
We're going to be broadcasting live. We're going to be donating blood.
Yep. Dawn reminded me that I can't go exercise tomorrow because I'm donating blood.
Yes.
I did not think about that at all.
Yeah.
And that would have been hilarious.
No, that would have been awful.
I would have been hanging out. Nick would be like, Matt, you okay?
then he just fallen over.
Yeah, so... we'll talk more about that coming up as well. On the way, we got birthdays. If you'd like to get a birthday shout-out in, it's easy. It's simple. You can do so. Studio at mystaticradio.com. Breaking news on the way. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
News. I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
News flash. Breaking news. Breaking news. News flash.
What?
A woman was billed over $4,000 after downloading a Neil Diamond album on her phone.
Whoa!
Maybe it was actually made out of diamonds.
Yes.
That'd be amazing.
All of the tracks were made out of diamonds. California couple stole a car in order to get to their court date on time, because that's what you do.
Hey, man, they're trying to be responsible people and get to their court date on time.
Right. Officer, I know we stole a car, but we had to get to court. We had to.
Stealing cars.
Can you give us an escort in our stolen vehicle?
Man.
A dog has been invited to vote in upcoming elections for the European Parliament.
Okay. Just a dog?
A dog.
A dog.
That's all I have.
I hope it's that Beethoven dog. He looks really regal to me, you know?
Oh, man.
Well, you know, over in Europe, they love their Beethoven.
So true.
Beethoven.
It's not Air Bud. A Florida teacher has been fired after asking 6 8th grade students to beat up a 7th grader.
Oh, my gosh!
Been there.
Dawn, don't tell...
Just kidding.
Don't tell kids to beat up
wow.
other kids. I'm wondering if I have any more info on that. It doesn't look like I do.
Maybe, Doug's going to have to
maybe
find
Doug
that
the
one.
Faithful will find the story about the teacher.
He's so paying attention.
It's okay. It happened in Florida, Doug. Just look up latest
of
Florida cool.
Did.
Latest Florida.
Of course it happened
Florida
in Florida.
Teacher yeah. hiring.
Dawn, you might know who that was.
I probably did.
What if it's your friend?
I probably know.
Gosh,
no, she
the
doesn't
worst.
Work in the middle school. I worked in the high school, so.
The Supreme Court of India made it official this week, recognizing a third gender.
Yep.
So there's male, female, and Brad. I don't
what?
Know.
What?
I don't know what the...
I know about it.
It just cuts
you
it off.
You do?
Right
there.
I do. It was
well,
on BBC
I
News.
Mean.
All right, let's hear it, Dawn. Well...
Basically, what they said is that for transgender people in India,
yeah.
there is a lot of stuff that comes against them. Like, they can't hardly even get a job kind of thing. There's a lot of discrimination.
Right.
So, if you're a transgender person, now there's been a law passed that you can't be discriminated against. Hmm. Like, they can't even go to hospitals. It's, like, crazy.
This coming from the country that follows a caste system.
Right. So, it's not surprising that they were that...
Yeah.
You know.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That like, mean to people.
Hey, guys, no more discrimination
hey guys,
in our caste
let's,
system.
Let's knock this discrimination right out of here. Hey, don't touch me.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Russia, or a Russian attack aircraft buzzed an American aircraft the other day.
Whoa.
I don't know what that means.
Them's fighting words.
Them's fighting words.
They were filming Top Gun 2. They're actually making a Top Gun 2.
Yeah,
really?
They're also making a sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire.
What?
Yep.
Oh, well, man.
I read that.
Robin
I don't know about
Williams.
That.
How do you recreate that?
You
I
wouldn't
don't know.
Be the voice in Aladdin 2, but you will do Mrs. Doubtfire 2?
Right.
I mean, come on.
As long as they don't make a sequel to Patch Adams.
Oh,
good grief.
Oh, that was so sad.
What is it then?
No.
Never mind. I was going to.
Spoiler alert for everybody who hasn't watched any movies in the last 30 years. That's a sad movie,
that's
y'all. You don't want to see
movie.
That again.
You don't need to.
Don't make a sequel to Patch Adams. Oh, it'd be the saddest movie ever written.
There would be no movie.
Oh, that's it. The whole thing would just be sad things.
Yeah.
Just sad scenes. They wouldn't even make sense. Well, opposite of that. According to a new study, the happiest couples sleep less than an inch apart.
Whoa.
What if it's real hot?
I was just...
I feel like that would make you unhappy. I think because...
I feel like it really would have to be the perfect temperature.
Yeah.
It really would. That's hard. Because there are some times where I'm asleep and then cold feet just go, whoop! And I'm like, whoa! I'm awake! But you're warm!
And then you have a baby hanging out in there, too.
Oh, man. He's got his own room.
He's got his own room?
Yes.
But he comes in there and sleeps with you, right?
No.
Sometimes?
When he wakes up.
He'll
when he wakes up, he'll have his
you.
Bottle there. Ooh. But I'm always, well, hopefully, oh, usually awake.
That sounds no fun.
Yeah.
No fun
babies,
either way.
Babies, yo.
Authorities say that they are now dealing with a rash of teenagers tweeting fake bomb threats to airlines. And let's talk about that. Because the other day, I saw one of these.
Are you
this
kidding
happened.
Me?
A 14-year-old girl
tweeted, we talked about this.
American Airlines.
Yep.
And it was the funniest because it was horrible. And American Airlines said, hey, we take bomb threats seriously, and we've got the FBI after you.
They're
looking up your, your IP address.
Uh-huh.
And this girl's reaction.
The FBI responded.
Yeah.
Because she tweeted at American Airlines.
What did she say?
What did she say? She said, member of Al-Qaeda, coming up June 1st, I have something very special planned for you guys.
Yeah.
My name is whatever. And they said, hi, Sarah, because her name's Sarah.
When did she tweet that?
Clearly American.
Yeah. It was last week. Thanks,
hey, Patty.
Yeah, I keep forgetting you. I'm like, we talked about this. Oh, wait, it was Monday.
It was Doug.
It was Doug.
I thought that I had retweeted that thing.
It was bad. Poor thing. Well, not poor thing.
No, she
brought
that.
I'm like 50-50.
There was a terrible reaction.
She's 14 years old, and she did something stupid, but then she got destroyed, obviously, on Twitter, so much so that her account had to be taken down because of all of the hateful things
people were
back
saying
to her.
Terrible stuff.
I get it that she's 14, so I can see how you could be silly enough to do that at 14.
Right.
However, I do think it's right that she receive the consequences of that action so that she can learn.
Yeah,
so that other 14-year-olds can learn, too.
Consequences.
The consequences should have been American Airlines and the FBI, not other 14-year-olds talking about how she should kill herself.
Well, yeah.
Because then what makes them any different? But they don't get...
Well, here's the thing.
You know
they're
mean?
14 and they don't understand that that's wrong.
That's true.
So,
bad all around.
It is. It was
And
awful.
She definitely brought it on herself by tweeting it.
Yeah, and then...
The problem was people saw it and started retweeting it.
Uh-huh.
And favoriting it, and it became a viral thing.
Well, her parents should be on Twitter if she's going to be on Twitter, and they should have seen it as soon as it went up, and they should have taken down her site immediately.
Yeah, it was a...
And that would have avoided all
awful.
Of whatever the bad people said to her, because it should have been...
It was awful.
...nipped in the bud.
Shout out to my sister Kimberly and my niece Eva and my other niece Emma.
Are they listening?
They're listening.
We love you, family.
Love you. Eva, this little girl named Claire came in and brought us cookies, and she looked just like you.
She did.
And the whole time I was looking at her going, are you Eva? Did you come to New Mexico to see me? But it
Does
wasn't
Eva
you.
Does Eva have glasses?
I don't think so.
Wasn't
okay.
that
Yeah,
girl
so it was like Eva with glasses.
Eva?
Yeah,
she was
it
eight.
Was crazy. It was crazy.
Or still is eight. She is eight. She was eight.
Guys, if you're a teenager out there and you have Twitter, don't tweet a bomb threat.
Yeah.
Just stay away from that.
So more and more people are doing it?
I guess it's becoming a thing. It's becoming a thing.
Guys, I know you're young and you're still learning things, so let me be the one to let you know that's a jerk move.
Yeah, what's going to happen is everybody's going to keep doing it, thinking, oh, well, if we all do it, blah, blah, blah. And then a real terrorist is going to tweet it, and it's going to happen.
They're going to be like, nice job, Sarah.
And you helped cover it up a little bit.
Called The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Yeah.
No
Look
fun.
It up.
Yeah.
Well, a group of citizen scientists are trying to raise money to reboot an old orbiting satellite just circling this Earth. Big old piece of trash flying around our world at thousands of miles an hour.
So that we think. And then it turns out it was actually Soundwave.
It was a
and
transformer.
And he was hanging out up there because he was monitoring what was happening on Earth so he could send it back to his fearless leader, Megatron.
Megatron.
So the Megatron could come down and take over. And NASA's like, but we're going to go ahead and give it juice now.
Let's juice it up.
Oh.
The Netherlands is experimenting with a glow-in-the-dark stretch of highway. I read about this yesterday.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I think.
That's like Avatar World.
Super cool.
Yeah, but by 2 a.m., don't you think it would be, like, black again? Because normally, glow-in-the-dark's really cool, and you run into the closet, and you're, like, looking at your shirt for, like, 7 seconds, and then it's like...
Well, it's the kind that gets charged by the sun during the day, so it gets charged all day long.
That's
but
true.
Then you also have to wonder, like, what about cloudy days?
Yeah.
You could still charge it on a cloudy day.
How?
It can be pretty cloudy
Same
in Europe.
Way you get sunburnt when you're...
Oh,
cloudy.
That's true.
Yeah, but does that charge?
Maybe they, instead of like actual light,
could
it's
be
the
right.
UV rays.
There you go.
Maybe that's what's charging it. Could be cool.
He's so smart.
Congratulations, American taxpayer. You've just filed another year's income tax return and you're feeling pretty good. Unless you're like me and you're not feeling pretty good because you owe the government money.
Ugh.
And maybe by taking a few creative liberties, quote unquote, with your return... You were actually able to come out a little ahead this year or not pay anything at all. Not me. Again, we had to pay the government money. Upset. If that's the case, you probably feel like bragging a little bit. Not me. Maybe you'll share a tongue-in-cheek photo on Facebook of that new Xbox One you called a business expense. Quote, unquote. But be warned, friends won't be the only ones reading your status. That's right. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, your social media presence is fair game to the IRS.
Boom! And
Big brother!
That's right. The tax agency will be browsing these networks to look for potential income tax evaders.
Whoa.
In recent years, the IRS has begun using online activity trackers to look through mass amounts of public internet data for potentially incriminating information. Dawn, are you okay?
I'm okay.
She's
choked on my water.
Are you choking because there's a business expense I don't know about? Is that what's that water bottle made of?
Nope.
Is that water
I didn't write this
of?
Water bottle off.
Good
it was
news, though.
What?
This year. So for next year.
Okay.
Moving across the country
for
a job.
Yeah, we did. We wrote that
insane,
off.
Wait, I thought that was this year.
Happening in 2013.
No, it happened in December. December 1st, 2013.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right.
Totally.
Has it been that long?
Yes. Guys, a humble brag to your friends about how you claimed your bathroom as a home office may seem harmless.
Oh, right.
But it's the kind of thing that you put squarely on the IRS's radar. So even though you spend a lot of time in the bathroom, maybe even doing business stuff or just doing your business, that's not an office. Which I found out because that's what I tried to do. And our tax girl was like, hey, no, I don't care how much time you spend in the bathroom. And I'm like, but it's my only place of solace. And she said, I don't care. That's not an office.
What
she probably was having a hard time hearing you with me banging on the door. Matt, get out of there. Are you on the phone? Are you playing a game? I know you're playing a game.
I'm going to start doing that.
Well, you don't have to. And Dawn doesn't have to because...
That's
Panda
true.
The cat does it, and Brody does it.
That's true.
Brody
That's
will just come up to the door and go,
Matt.
Mama! Mama! Matt!
You better make sure you lock the door,
because
he'll
come in. And
then
the handle starts turning.
Yep.
No, Brody, no!
We have got to replace all the handles in our house.
You kind of do.
He's like a velociraptor.
Oh, they're those weird, like, I don't know, what are they?
They're the lever handle.
Well, but here's the thing. I read that that's, like, the new thing in all houses because you can't have the twisty knobs, like, for inspections and stuff. Because,
really?
Yeah, because you need to be able to get out. Like, if there's a fire or something and you can't
You need to install,
hold on
like,
to the
maybe if you're reaching
knob.
From the floor or something.
Right, or if, like... It gets really hot in a room because there's a fire, and you go to turn the twisty knob.
Yeah, you're going to need an oven mitt in every room.
Right, so if not, you can just hit it with your elbow or something and try and get out.
Yeah, like the handle of a toilet brush.
Like,
that's real life.
Fingerprint unlock pad.
That's real.
Yeah, but if there's a fire and then the electric goes out, we're done.
Read my fingerprint!
Hosed.
Or maybe not.
I'm looking that up.
A Portland, Oregon woman is suing Walmart. For $10,000 over a bottle of shampoo, she says, got her butt-length hair into such a tangled mess she was forced to cut most of it off. 30-year-old Jennifer Faye says she had waist-length hair since childhood. She claims that within seconds of applying an Equate brand shampoo from Walmart to her hair, it was so knotted, she was forced to cut all but 4 inches of her hair off.
Wow.
The lawsuit, which identifies the shampoo manufacturer Somebody as a defendant as well, requests $10,000 in compensation for past, present, and future physical and emotional pain and suffering, anxiety, humiliation, and embarrassment, expenses for replacement hair, along with diminished and lost wages, as well as loss of life's pleasure and activities. The bottle of shampoo runs about $3.44. So think about that next time you want the
Boom.
Discount shampoo.
Gosh, that's
you
crazy.
You could suffer from $10,000 worth of damages
Great.
To your emotional integrity.
I'm the guy that makes us get all the, like, B products.
Yeah, it's this guy over here, Steve-O.
I don't know about the laws in Albuquerque, but Vancouver was the first place to ban doorknobs.
Doorknobs.
So doorknobs are actually banned.
Wow, okay. Good to know.
Because the lever, it's accessible, and if you have arthritis or elderly, or I was just reading the laws.
Right.
So they straight up banned it. Mm. That's
Darn.
Why we have handles.
Handles.
I'm just saying.
Handled, he said. A computer glitch is likely to blame for a summons that called a German shepherd to report for jury duty in New Jersey.
Okay.
Barrett Griner IV said he opened a jury summons on Friday addressed to Fourth Griner, the name of his 5-year-old dog. The court did not actually request that a dog serve on a jury. The local trial court administrator said a computer probably misread Griner's numerical suffix 4 as his first name, which makes me doubt computers a lot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Air Bud 4, jury duty.
Jury duty. And Beethoven will be on the stand.
Yeah, yes. Beethoven.
Because he just came
he'll
over
the,
from the European
He'll be the
government.
Judge. He'll yeah. be the judge because he's so regal.
That's right.
Oh,
he'll be up there.
Have a big old black robe. You can see him.
I'd
he's got a gavel.
That movie. There's probably an Air Bud 4
it.
Already.
I'd watch that.
Probably.
Gosh.
A Brooklyn woman flew her mother up to a city using an airline... using her airline miles one weekend while she was away so that her mom could help out by taking care of the dog. There were also 3 cars she was tasked with moving while the group of friends were away. The woman's Fiat, a CRV, and a green Honda.
For the street sweepers.
That's right. Mama doodily attended to the vehicles and texted her daughter, "I'm so proud of myself. As it turns out, there is more than one green Honda in Brooklyn." None of us knew this. And apparently any old Honda key will work.
Oh my gosh.
Something long rumored and true, at least in this case, when the woman and her pals returned, the green Honda's owner couldn't find her vehicle. Instead, a green Honda that was not hers was in its spot. The woman's friend found her car, but now the woman is posting signs around the neighborhood to find the other green Honda's owner. By the way, the Brooklyn woman called police to report that her mom sort of stole a car, but at first they didn't believe her. Now it's time for birthdays.
Oh my gosh, that was fantastic. Man. It is 6:45, which means time for Doug and Doug. Welcome,
Hello.
Buddy. Hey, your mic's working.
Yeah, for now.
I like it.
Hey, I once drove a certain vehicle in high school. I won't say the name of it because they're pretty common in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And the... you can switch out keys from other not even the same kind of vehicle. There's like different models. There's like a truck version, an SUV version, and you can switch out the keys.
Wow.
A Toyota.
No.
A Subaru.
Maybe made in America.
A Ford.
Why are we guessing? You're going to give away his car and they're going to come steal.
Well, I don't have it anymore, but you see them all the time in Albuquerque.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. I don't have it anymore.
Well, I don't have one anymore. Not
Somebody
a green
stole
one.
It. I definitely don't drive it anymore. It's not outside.
Nope. Not there.
Oh, today is April 17th, 2014, day 107, and there are 258 days remaining in the year. First up this morning.
Yeah.
From the Social Network, the girl with the dragon tattoo. Side Effects, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and Her.
What is her name?
Man.
It's the girl.
Is it Rooney Mara?
Yes.
Yes,
Boom.
That's it.
It is.
Yeah.
She's in a lot of intense movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I've seen one of those movies on the list.
Okay.
Out of all the movies.
Rooney Mara today is 27.
I think that she is 26.
29.
She might be older.
Steve-O, you're correct.
Woo! Thank you. I think
there's them cock-a-doodle-doo roosters, eh?
Coconut beer!
One, two,
one, two, three, four.
Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Elijah Wood.
I'm right.
No.
Samwise Gamgee. No. Sean Astin.
Ian
sorry.
McKellen.
He was also in.
No! It's happening!
No.
We'll never know what he was in.
Oh,
microphone.
All right, we're
thanks,
good.
Doug.
From GoldenEye, Equilibrium.
Oh, Sean Bean.
Yes.
Whoa.
GoldenEye.
He's also in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Which I've never seen.
Game
but
of
he was
Thrones.
006. Sean Bean.
Okay.
He's Boromir.
Boromir.
Yes,
Boromir.
Fellowship. Love that dude. Sean Bean is an amazing actor.
He's my
pretty
best
cool.
friend.
They need to make a random obscure culture celebrity Jeopardy thing. I would own at that.
That would be
I would
pretty
own
awesome.
At that.
Crazy.
I know.
Oh, man. Well, how old do you think he is?
Well, I mean.
Boromir.
I think he's 40.
No.
Now?
Because GoldenEye, he was the bad guy. And
yeah.
that was like 90s.
But sometimes they look younger than they. I mean, they look older.
So,
they are younger than you think.
I'm going to go a whole decade higher. I'm going to say he's 51.
I say Whoa. He's 46. He is 55.
Oh!
Wow.
Told you guys.
That's why he wins. Obscure actor Jeopardy.
Ah, I'm throwing something at
that
Ducky
poor
Doug.
Microphone. Poor microphone.
Next up, singer, songwriter from the 90s had such hits as Why Can't I, Supernova, and Extraordinary.
Nope.
Liz Phair.
Oh,
I remember her.
I do too.
Ha.
The song was played in like every Applebee's ever.
Doug, how did you go to every Applebee's ever?
I worked at Applebee's.
Was that your mission?
He worked at every Applebee's ever.
Sorry.
That's when he was he was driving around testing that car. Seeing if he could get into everybody else's, or testing that key to
yeah,
his car.
Yeah, totally. He had like 18 pieces of flair, and he was breaking into the cars.
46.
She's 42.
What? I think she's 34.
She is 47 years old today.
You're on the money.
No, guys, you should just dream big with me.
Next up, from Dallas Buyers Club,
Tito.
Draft Day. Alias, Juno, Daredevil.
Oh, Jennifer Garner.
Yes, Dude, Where's My Car, Elektra, and 13 Going on 30.
Ugh, Elektra.
She was on Jimmy Fallon this last week.
Yeah?
I love her.
She's so cute, isn't
she's
she?
She's seriously, yes.
She's trying to get people to come see Draft.
Like, I think how you like J-Law. I really, I love
that's
Jennifer
Garner.
That's
a lot Garner. Of like right there.
Jennifer Garner's
are you really ready to commit to that?
She was talking about Benjamin. She calls him Benjamin. Ben
okay.
Affleck.
All
and
right.
he was training for Batman. And it was just like the sweetest thing. And just, they are the sweetest little family.
Aww.
I love them. And they, nothing bad can ever happen in that family. Because to me, they're one of my favorite like celebrity couple people.
Okay. Jennifer too.
They're the best.
Jennifer. Okay.
Yeah. Jennifer Garner.
I think that she is...
So sweet. She's in Draft Day.
38.
37.
39.
She is 42 today.
Oh,
wow. Way to go, Jennifer Garner.
Yeah.
All right, the last birthday this morning. You may know her from the Spice Girls. But most importantly, she's David Beckham's wife.
Victoria
yep.
Beckham.
Victoria yes.
Beckham. Posh Spice.
I'm so glad I went that direction because I don't know the Spice Girls at all.
Ginger Spice, Baby Spice, Sporty Spice, Other Spice.
What
did
was
you
the
say other
scary?
One?
Also Spice.
Scary, that's what it was.
And Old Spice.
Old Spice. That's what they are now.
That was my dad.
Older
that was my
spice.
Dad there.
Oh.
That's
my dad
me
was
today.
Old Spice.
Mm.
Just
I took
kidding.
A shower
my
today.
Dad was Drakkar Noor Spice.
Drakkar Noor. Oh, man.
Victoria. I'm a Stetson man myself.
If Jennifer Garner's 42, then Victoria Beckham has got to be
44.
40, and now I'm going to say 43.
Yeah, I think you're probably 44.
She is 40.
Ah!
You took my number.
I took it.
Yeah, you guys shared.
All right, going on to dates. In this day and what year, Ellis Island Immigration Center processed 11,747 people more than any other day.
Whoa. 4th of July.
4th of July, 1843. Except it was April 17th because it was on this day.
Right. It's an important thing to remember. It's weird how they combine July 4th and April 17th. But it happened once in history.
What did I say? 18, it was a miracle. 1843? That can't be right.
1805.
What do you say?
1911. 1907.
Dang! Wow.
On this day in what year the Ford Motor Company unveiled the Ford Mustang at the New York's World Fair? Okay.
1964.
1962.
1965.
Well,
is
it 1964 and a half?
Steve-o.
So.
Oh,
man.
I mentioned that was my first car. It was the 1964 and a half. Okay.
And a half.
And a half. And that was really it. It was like almost and a 65. And it was my very first car, and I restored it. And then in high school, I sold it.
Carl.
So what you're saying is I'm also right.
If anybody ever wants to give me the greatest gift in the universe.
So yeah. You're welcome.
That was my first car, and it's still my favorite car.
Wow. Good story, bro.
Yeah, thanks, bruh. I met Carroll Shelby. He was the inventor of the Shelby Mustang.
Nice. You met him?
Yeah, he was at Yesterdave's. It was like this classic restaurant.
Yesterdave's?
Yesterdave's.
Yeah. I remember
that's
that.
Cute.
Remember Yesterdave's?
Yeah. I want Dave.
It was like the, Dave, you know, to move the old here. Malt shop where there was like classic burgers and the, uh-huh. They had like memorabilia everywhere.
Yeah.
I miss you, Yesterdave's. That was Yesterdave's.
On this day in what year, the FBI lab reported that it could not determine the lyrics on the Kingsman's record, Louie Louie.
Wow. 1971.
1958.
I just got the hiccups.
What?
Whoa.
What? Whoa.
Whoa. 1969.
1964.
Ah.
Come on, guys. Animal House.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Come on, Doug.
On this day in what year, Sirhan Sirhan was convicted of assassinating Robert F. Kennedy?
Was it 69? Remember, we were just talking to Sam Swan about this. 1969?
1970.
I've still got the hiccups. 1971.
Steve-O is on a roll this morning.
Yay! You know, history and such!
History and such. And for more on such, Jarrett Petro will be here at 9.
Yes, dude.
And such.
All right. On this day in what year, Paul McCartney released his first solo album, McCartney, and included a self-interview that confirmed the Beatles had broken up.
Oh, man.
1972.
The day the music died.
And
that was a different day.
Different one.
J-Law changed the song for me forever. Thanks, J-Law.
You know you did. You know
man,
you did.
Man, that was so intense. That
gosh,
kid.
That
I felt
1978.
Sorry. Kid was sitting on the couch the whole time going, what is she doing? Come on, Mom.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Dawn?
I said 1978.
You said 70?
I thought I said 71.
72.
I don't remember.
1970. You did say 71.
I said 70. Are you sure?
On this day in what year, the ill-fated Apollo 13 spacecraft returned safely to Earth?
I never learned to read or see this movie.
13. What year?
I'm wearing an asteroid shirt today in honor of it.
1968.
1967.
Wait, was Apollo 13 before we landed on the moon?
I don't know. I have the hiccups.
I'm not telling you because it'll give away the answer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it before we landed on the moon or was it after? Anyone? We landed on the moon in 1969.
Okay, then. I was wrong.
I'm going to say 1972.
1970.
Ah! Dang it!
I was so close.
Huh? I'm learning history from my own show. This is great.
That's pretty
I'm
good.
Learning things. You're
what,
welcome.
What year did Robert Kennedy get assassinated?
1969.
I'm just keeping you on your toes.
Same year we landed on the moon.
On this day, what year Federal Express delivered its first package?
What?
Federal Express, first package.
Federal Express, FedEx.
Okay. I think it was in 1820.
What?
Yep, you got
FedEx.
It. Yeah, it's like one of those ones that has the like super late, early date or what?
It was horseback.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But at the time, he already had those freaky khaki shorts. Wait, is that FedEx?
That's
or is that
UPS. Yes. You know, they actually...
Shout out, khaki shorts guy.
They clad themselves in all khaki as a camouflage.
Really?
Yeah, so they can
Urban
blend
jungle.
In with just buildings or
all the beige
desert.
Here in Albuquerque.
Yeah. out here, you can't spot a UPS guy for 19, they could be 3 feet in
I'm
front
gonna
of
say 1978. Yeah, I went way late.
I say 42.
1973.
Oh! What did he say?
It was 1973.
Oh, fun.
And the last one this morning. On this day in what year, police in Lansing, Michigan arrested three adult sisters for running around their neighborhood nude after smearing their bodies with mustard. The lady said they were looking for the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
Okay.
Were they all it, on acid at the same time?
Well, they said in Hollow Earth that that's how you do it.
Why mustard, though? I mean,
well, you
was
don't
it
want
spicy
it to be
mustard?
Because
that's got to be uncomfortable, am I right?
Mayonnaise
spicy
would
mustard?
Just be horrible.
I would have loved to have been there and just rolled up and said, pardon me.
Do you have an egret?
Oh, I do. Here.
I'd be like, take a French fry out the window, you know?
Oh, man.
Little dab, dab, dab.
Okay, what year?
Little dab will do you.
2002.
99. 1985. 1980.
Oh,
I was so closer than y'all.
Today is Get to Know Your Customers Day.
Oh, okay.
It is Kickball Day. It is Ford Mustang Day. Hey. It is Bat Appreciation Day.
Nope.
It is Cheeseball Day, and it is High Five Day.
You know, they say bats are the chicken of the cave, Doug.
They are.
Yeah.
In Hollow Earth.
That's right.
High five! Me too. It's Hot
5
Day. Oh my gosh. Authority Song is one of my jams, bro. Nicely done. Okay. It is Thursday. We have a stellar show for you today. I'm excited. Dawn Michelle is with us.
Here I am.
We're going to be talking about a nonprofit ministry that she is working with right now that is amazing. That's coming up around the corner. We're also going to be talking with Michelle Schroff from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe. We've got Theology Thursday. We want to know your three-word obituary. It's the question of the day. A gentleman recently passed away, but before he did, he penned his obituary. Three words, I am dead. If you were penning your obituary and only had three words,
yep.
What three words are you going to use? Keep it clean, America. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. Yeah.
On the way, some cardboard kids, some Saints of Valerie, a boy in his kite, and Team Awesome Morning Party.
Of course!
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
It's time for your traffic report that you look forward to all morning long.
Beep, beep, here comes traffic.
Thank you, Dawn. Road closed due to a sinkhole.
What?
5th Street between Tijeras Avenue.
How many goats have been swallowed up by this sinkhole?
And it's Marquette Avenue. It's happening, the Hollow end
Earth.
Of the world.
Oh.
It's happening. Hollow Earth people they're out to avenge.
I will never doubt you again, Teo. You were right.
Doug was right. Thank you, Doug. Road construction, left lane closed, San Antonio Drive east at I-25, and we also have the construction at I-25 in Paseo. But remember, guys, there's a sinkhole that's closed the road, 5th Street between Tijeras, right, Tijeras
yep.
Avenue and Marquette Avenue. Don't drive into the sinkhole.
Don't do it.
It's not a good idea.
No, terrible idea.
Here, I know there's different driving techniques for different things that can happen. Like if there's ice and you start to slide, you turn your wheels into the slide. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
So, okay, so in this case, when you've got a sinkhole and you see it coming up, what you're going to want to do is you're going to turn away from the sinkhole.
Yes, there you go. Perfect.
Maybe just stop your car. And
maybe just press
turn around.
Press the brake, the other one.
Go
the other
way.
Pedal.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, you pump your
there
brakes, you know, when they lock, right?
Oh, yeah, what is that? You pump them.
But in this case,
pump
you're just going to want to slam on the brakes and turn away from the sinkhole.
Yes. Beautiful.
It's true.
And don't approach any people that are coming out of the sinkhole.
Right. If anyone's coming out, they look a little weird.
Yeah.
Maybe
if your
giant
goat has fallen into the sinkhole, do not go after it.
You've lost the goat.
It's gone.
The goat is...
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Two goat jokes in one.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number 505-338-3669. Coldplay just announced their world tour.
World tour, emphasis word, world.
Yeah, it's they're going to be playing like Germany. They're going to be playing in all the major cities in the United States. New York.
Yeah.
And L.A.
All two of them.
All the major cities.
Yeah, for real. I'm kind of sad about this. Yeah, Cologne, Germany. They're going to be playing New York. They're going to be playing L.A. They're going to be playing Paris, Tokyo, and London. And that's it.
That's it.
So, cool.
How many is that all together?
Six shows.
I think everybody's musical goal, if you're a musician, should be that if you tour, you only have to do six shows. Because that's
year.
The whole world.
And you're playing the biggest venues, and you're selling them out. Probably more than one night in a row.
Those guys.
Because that's what'll happen. They'll play in New York, and it'll like sell out, and they'll be like, we're announcing a second show.
May 19th, their new record comes out. I'm pretty stoked on it.
Excited.
That's cool. Speaking of exciting things, we posted the question of the day.
This is exciting.
Don't get too excited now.
I already am.
We have a ton of comments already.
Yep. Mostly from Michael Harvey. He has a lot
did
of
good
ideas.
Did he post a bunch?
Yes, he did.
Question of the day is simple. What would your three-word obituary be? A 92-year-old Swedish man, he wrote his obituary, and this it could not be changed. Sadly, he passed away.
He did.
And in the newspaper and on his tombstone, it says this. I am dead. That's his totality of
that's the
words.
That's the thing. So Michael Harvey says he knows what his three-word obituary would be.
Okay.
His would either be, I need coffee.
Okay.
Hashtag milk life. May the force. That one's incomplete. That's okay.
Yeah, but if him and his wife like were tragically, like maybe it was like,
be
you know,
with you.
Yeah.
Oh, now that's a partnership right there.
Boom. I'm going to talk to Chrissy. We're going to work that way.
That's going to be our boy.
Nate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nate and his wife.
Yes,
that will be theirs.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then another one he said is, that's read my lips.
Huh?
Ah. And then he started naming other people's tombstones. For Thebes, he wrote, eat more bacon.
Which is good.
For TJ, he wrote, poop more often. And for Bill Peterson, he said, change profile picture. I think there's a hidden message in that last one. Jared says, do not cry.
Do not cry.
And Aaron says, AFK would be mine.
That's which, like three letters.
Yeah.
That's not a three word.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you said BRB. You knew that was three letters too, didn't you, Steve?
Yeah, but that's internet speak.
Yeah, that AFK is internet speak as well, which is actually kind of hilarious. AFK is
means.
Like if you're playing World of Warcraft or something and you have to pee, you say AFK because you're away from your keyboard. Away from keyboard. Get it? Because he's away from keyboard.
He's, Woolly man, that's nostalgia
no
for,
with us.
For gamers right there.
Yeah, That's your future hope. Wooly says, that was awesome. Those would be
that
his
was
words.
Awesome.
There's proper etiquette, bro. You don't want to just like leave your clan and you're like hanging out and you're like, bro, we're gonna like totally go raid this thing, and then all of a sudden you're like, Steve-o, and then I'm like heating up Hot Pockets or something. You gotta say AFK. Away
hot
from
pockets.
Keyboards. Oh, he's AFK. Okay,
he's
good.
AFK.
Okay.
He'll
cool
be
man.
Back.
He'll be back.
Is he
all right.
Back?
Cool.
Static.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Three words. Praise the Lord.
Oh. There you go. PTL all day long.
There it is.
There you go. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye.
505-338-3700. You had a really good one.
Yes. I actually, it wasn't funny.
No.
But I was like, if it really is going to be, you know, my obituary,
this is it. Three
I
words.
Would say, I am healed.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that one. We had a caller call during the break who said, as you wish.
As
and
you
I, of course,
wish.
I thought that was fantastic.
That's a good one.
That's a really, yeah. It's a really good one. I like that one.
Another good one was, wait, for real?
A 92-year-old Swedish man wrote his own obituary, three whole words, I am dead. You couldn't deviate from that. That was his obituary.
That was it.
That's what he wanted. So we thought if you could write your own three-word obituary.
Three-word.
What are your three words? What would it be? 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Ryan says, wait, don't unplug. Oh, Ryan. Your wit.
Can I laugh at that? That's so bad. Oh, I feel bad by laughing.
It's okay.
All right.
You can laugh at
Woo!
He Man. Said it to be funny, we think.
All right.
We are not sure.
Static!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Marty.
So, I always imagine that if I die, it's going to be from one of my biggest fears, which is hype.
Okay.
Yeah. So, my three-word obituary would be, ah! Ah! Ah!
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Very good.
All right. Thanks for the call. Man. Hey, coming up. We got tickets for Toby Mac,
Ooh.
Skillet,
Ooh.
And Lecrae. We all know the ever popular, ever wonderful game of Price is Right. Played some of that earlier in the week. We want to give away some tickets, so that'll be coming up though, not just yet.
My three word, thing would be mythological hero Achilles. That would be mine.
Achilles.
Achilles.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning, hey, Team Voice Guy. Good morning. Hey,
what's going on?
Oh, just Nothing. Chilling. Just chilling.
Good morning.
Yeah, yeah.
My three words are finally going home.
There you go.
Nice.
Some good words.
Finally
I like that one.
Home.
Thanks, Team Voice Guy.
Happy Easter, and you guys have a good one.
You too,
Happy
man.
Easter.
Happy Easter. I love Deep Voice Guy.
Yeah, he sounds wonderful.
He's so great.
Stefan says his would be, peace out, buttheads. And Julie's would be, pushing up daisies.
Nice. Wow. Your three-word obituary, what would it be? Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. See, what's hard is, I'm funny. I think
uh-huh.
I'm funny.
Go
Matt
on.
And I are quite comical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard because this is a forever thing.
Right.
This is your obituary.
This is your final joke.
This is going to be on your tombstone. So it either has to be the funniest thing you can imagine.
Right.
Or I got to go serious. It's like a legacy. What is
Ooh,
the legacy you're
I got a good
behind?
One.
All right.
Why so serious?
Oh.
Yeah, a question is a good way to go about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Ask your audience a question.
Got milk? You?
You got milk? I don't know. The questions that I want to ask are all four words.
Yeah?
Yeah, every one of them. Oh. Four words.
Well, then just, can you like text speak it?
No contractions.
Yeah, contraction, that's all you need, bud.
No, I don't know how to use contractions properly.
Oh.
Never learned that in school.
I cannot use a contraction.
I cannot. Use a contraction. I don't know what I would put on my tombstone.
It's tough, right?
I really have no idea.
Yeah.
Did Doug know what he wanted to put on his?
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
You wrote it?
He
oh,
wrote
you
it.
Actually chimed in on Facebook.
Did he chime in on
Look
Facebook?
At that. Dougie Fresh chiming in on Facebook.
Hang on. Let me refresh this ancient technology.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Oh. Doug says his would be New World Order.
Okay.
NWO.
I like that, Doug. Jeremiah says, is Christ glorified? That's his question to everyone.
It's a good one.
There you go.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or, of course, 505-338-3700. We kind of need to give away some tickets at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah, we need to
Should
do
Should we
this.
Do this?
Let's do it right now.
505-338-3700. I've got a good one. I've got a good one. Where is it? There we go. Okay. It's an easy game. If you would like to score some tickets.
Let's see. Is this to the Toby Mac?
Toby Mac, Skillet, Lecrae, Tadashi, and how many other bands? Gosh.
There's like 20 bands.
They keep adding bands to this. It's at Santa Ana Star Center Saturday, May 3rd. Toby Mac, Skillet, Lecrae, Tadashi, Capital Kings.
It's like Winter Jam the sequel.
Yeah.
Winter Jam the sequel, Spring.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning. You got to turn your radio down. Please.
Please. Please.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
Can't complain. Are you calling to score some tickets for Toby Mac, Skillet, Lecrae?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Okay. Have you ever watched a little TV show called The Price is Right?
Not too much.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you an item and a price. And you're going to tell me if it's higher
Ooh.
Or lower. Okay? You got to get 2 out of 3 at least. You got to get a couple right. I'm going to give you 3 different items. If you can tell me correctly, higher or lower on these items, you're going to score tickets to Toby Mac, Skillet, Lecrae. All right?
Cool.
All right, here we go. duck salami. Ugh. 7 ounces of duck salami.
Wow.
Is it higher or lower than $15?
I would say lower.
You think lower than $15 for 7 ounces of duck salami? The answer is $15.75.
Dang, right.
Maybe
there.
It's Duck Commander salami. Duck.
These are, I found exotic. Did I mention I found exotic meats from around the world?
That's incredible.
All right. You got to get this one right to keep playing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Camel patties.
Ooh.
1 pound of camel meat, basically. Camel patties, a pound package.
So it's not
patties.
Like a cow patty?
No. No,
okay, because that's real different.
Is, those taste different. Yes.
I can hook you up
this
with those for free.
This is basically ground camel.
Keep those.
Okay, ground camel. 1 pound. It's a package of 3 patties. So a pound of camel patty.
Wow.
Yeah. Is it higher or lower than $14?
Lower.
Lower. That's correct. Whoa. $13.20 for a pound of camel patties.
Wow.
I know.
And if you find a place where you can get a better price, let us know.
Like I eat camel meat.
All right.
Sure.
This one's for the tickets. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Alligator tail. Alligator tail, 5 pound package.
5 pounds. A lot. Bear that in mind.
Yeah. Is it higher or lower than $79?
I'm going to have to say higher.
You're going to have to say higher for 5 pounds of alligator tail? You think alligator tail is higher than $79? Do you guys agree?
No, I'll take it. I'll say lower.
Are you sure?
You talked her right out of that, Steve-O.
I mean, finally, what do you got? You guys?
I think it's higher.
You think it's higher?
I think it's lower.
You think it's lower? Oh, man. Okay, caller, I need a final answer. Is it higher or lower than $79?
I would say... Depending on the alligator's tail. I don't know. It's higher.
Higher? You think higher than $79? You're right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm from Florida, so.
Yeah.
You knew more than me.
5 pound package of alligator tail is $83.50. So woo. Congratulations,
you win.
Caller. You win.
Win.
Pair of tickets for Toby Mac, Skillet, Lecrae, Saturday, May 3rd, Santa Ana Star Center.
Woo! Yeah, scream.
Scream away.
Scream and
yell.
You won.
You are the winner.
All right.
Hang on the line for us, okay?
Do not hang up.
Yeah.
Don't hang up.
This is Mom Fernando.
Good job, Mom Fernando.
You won. Don't hang up.
Incredible. Hang out. Yeah. Awesome. See what happens when you listen to your favorite radio station?
Yeah, they give you tickets to concerts of bands they don't even play.
Another chance to score some tickets coming up for Copper Lily this Monday, Calvary Santa Fe. Right now it's Under Oath on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Ever feel like a plastic bag floating in the wind, ready to start again? Do you ever feel,
babe,
feel so paper thin?
You know so much of these words.
The cards and they're caving in. They skip all the verse in the music.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's okay.
You know so much more of those words than I do.
I'm a Katy Perry fan.
You are!
And, it's like, okay. I can remember words pretty good just because it's one of my things.
I liked Katy Perry before she became a witch. So I'm cool.
Before she became anti-Muslim?
Whoa. Oh, man.
Let's calm down. We're throwing out a lot of things this morning. The people aren't going to know what's real.
Yeah. Question of the day. This is real. What would your three-word obituary be? A 92-year-old Swedish man gave a three-word obituary before he passed away. And, yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know.
We've gotten a ton of response.
We have gotten a ton of response.
Andrew says, I would find out who's going to be buried around me and get us all to use our powers combined. That's pretty cool. Christopher says, sorry, no vacancy. Amber says, the answer is... ..
Oh, that's good.
Well done.
That's good.
Tori says, Vini Vidi Vici. Leanne says, make good choices. Leanne, that would allude to the fact that you didn't make good choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Carl says, well, that sucked. I guess this must have been from his phone because it replaced well with will.
So will that sucked.
Amanda says, alive in heaven. And Hannah says, best nap ever.
Okay.
And my friend Carla from CrossFit, her first comment on our page that I know of.
Ever.
She says, earn my wings.
Nice.
Carla, thank you.
Chrissy texted in to say, oh my glob.
Yay, Chrissy.
Yeah.
Chrissy.
What is your three-word obituary? Static.
Mello.
What's up, boy?
Mine is, I am mulch.
I am mulch.
Yes, that's the one.
Wow.
So just, I'm topsoil, brother. I wasn't sure if topsoil was two words or one, so I went with mulch.
Yeah. Good to be safe.
All right, guys, later.
Later. I love you. Oh. Amazing.
Oh, tonight.
Like free worm food.
Tonight is
I haven't even seen the first part.
We need to watch
We have
both
to watch
of
both of them.
Yeah!
Season finale of Community tonight. That's why he's so excited. For
okay.
those who have no idea.
Maniacally
yes,
excited.
We knew in our minds what
I get
we were
excited.
Talking about.
I get excited about weird. They know that from me. They expect it from me. Like, what's he laughing at this time? Something strange.
Every
in your
time.
Neighborhood?
We'll never know. That would be a great one.
We'll never know. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Three-word obituary. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Now,
what if you had an arrow pointing and then it said, she did it. He did it. And it was pointing to the next grave over.
See, I think it should be, I'm with stupid.
I was about to say it! That's what I thought the first person was going to say with the our powers combined.
Yeah.
Our powers combined.
That's pretty great. I love it. Tell us your three-word obituary. Now, obviously, there is no gravestone for Christ, but it would say he is risen. And we are going to celebrate that this Sunday, Easter Sunrise Service. You can join us. We're going to be broadcasting live. And coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we've been like actually studying and reading up.
Yeah.
Excitedly for this one coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to be talking about that very thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the historical accuracies, how we can know. Last week somebody called in and asked about...
how you gonna know that?
Yeah, how can we trust Scripture? How can we know that the New Testament is authentic? How can we know these things? And so we're going to dive deep into the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus, and most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for Theology Thursday with Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro. I've missed those guys.
Me too.
It's been too long.
I saw Beanix yesterday and he threatened me.
He threatened you?
He threatened me. He said, Mateo,
not okay.
If you don't read those books that I let you borrow, I'm going to punch you right in your face. And there will be no resurrection after I'm done with you.
Wow.
Wow.
I was like, Beanix, what? What? And he was like, I'm kidding.
Beanix is getting tough.
I feel like you're making fun or you're making stuff up.
No, I made that up. It was Jarrett that threatened me. It was Jarrett. Jarrett threatened me. He said, hey, you think you got better hair than me?
Oh,
well, you
man.
Don't. I'm going to shave your head, you jerk. And I was like, Jarrett, aren't you a pastor? And he said, that doesn't matter.
Speaking of Jarrett.
Doesn't mean anything.
Overseer, Calvary Santa Fe.
Yeah.
This weekend, Copper Lily, our friends are going to be here.
Friendship.
I'm excited. Tim Skipper from Manor House of Heroes. Him and his bride, Stephanie Skipper.
Yep.
They have a band called Copper Lily.
Copper Lily.
Copper Lily.
Copper Lily.
Copper Lily.
How do you say it?
Copper Lily.
Copper Lily. Okay.
Yeah.
Who did that? Who did that?
They'll be here this weekend hanging out for Easter. They're also going to be playing a show Monday.
Get back in the atmosphere.
We have tickets for Copper Lily. We're giving them away. And you can win them.
You need to win. Call in and win.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
In it to win it.
That's right. If you spelled it wrong, that could work.
Oh,
in it to
man.
Win it.
it, like in it is one word.
Inuit, win it.
Okay.
No, wait, that's it.
Three word obituaries. Get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Right around the corner, Copper Lily tickets up for grabs. Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static Radio.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Yeah.
What? Team Awesome Morning Party,
y'all. Let me sing about it.
Okay!
Because I'm a really hot G in the ABQ. I'm coming down to the radio to speak to you. I got my wife in here and Michelle Strife too. And Doug sitting over there in the other room. We got Steve-O now at the mic. That's right, gonna tell you about what he's doing tonight. I wanna throw it over him because he's so cool. So Steve-O, take it, you crazy fool.
I'm just here hanging. Oh, crap, I lost it.
I just want to say that as a wife, I've never been more proud of my husband.
How do you make a...
He just made that up. And for somebody... I have a lot of experience of making up the words when you forget it on stage, and I can tell you that that was excellent.
That was quite excellent.
Guys, your skills... I didn't tell you guys about my second life as a freestyle rapper.
Yeah, that was good.
It's pretty cool.
That's true.
When are we going to do a rap project? How have we not done a rap comedy project?
I'm sitting on go.
Big scale. In the house.
Team Awesome Morning Party, Steve-O, Mateo, Dawn Michello. She's hanging with us today. And
here I am.
There you go. It is the 8 o'clock hour. We do this every single Thursday. Michelle Schroff joining us in studio right now.
Hey.
What?
What up?
Michelle
Schroff. How you doing?
How you doing?
How impressed were you by my rapping skills?
Wow.
Speechless. Because
I know you're from the ghetto.
Speechless.
Yeah, dude.
Speechless.
Come on.
Thanks.
That's absolutely it? That's
speechless.
All you got?
Yeah.
You really are speechless.
Yeah.
That's a
I'm used to the ones with more curse words, so I wasn't that impressed.
Well, see, that's the thing.
But it's harder to rhyme without curse words because rhyme with each other.
They were told that, I mean, a long time ago I was told that rap is just not the same without the F word.
And that's right.
That could be true.
Yeah. No, guys, that whole time I was editing myself, there were 26 cuss words in there. That was a radio edit.
That was good.
Radio edit.
That was good. It sounded good, man.
Doug knows.
Good.
Doug's my boy, see?
Man.
Got that Yankees cap on. He's hard.
Michelle Strong.
He's hard.
From the Aspen Project and Project Zoe.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you need someone like Teo to go in there and teach the girls how to rhyme?
Yes.
All the
absolutely.
Time?
There's always a need.
Okay. All right. I thought
there was no boys allowed there.
Yeah, unless you're teaching them to change a tire or rap.
I'll dress up like a girl to do it.
And you know what? This dude can
Nobody
change
asked
a tire.
You to dress up like a girl.
I know.
What are you talking about? I can change a tire, dress up like a girl too.
He can change a tire like nobody's business. My tire blew a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
and
I didn't
do this, dude.
Steve-O, you did all the work.
Stop it right now.
Oh,
I have photos to prove that he at least did some of it.
No, I was just standing over there praying because I'm so holy.
Oh my gosh!
I was like, Lord, please help my rapping skills and help Steve-O too. I pray for my rapping skills every day. Lord, just help me get better.
Now I have to put that photo up.
You got to post it.
You got to put it up.
I bet you didn't know I was taking pictures.
Don't show people that.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you just lost that in heaven.
In a dress.
It's here. I got a photo of Teo in a dress, changing my tire.
It's a good looking dress.
Just like that.
I got it on a discount sale. It was great.
What happened?
Very
Where did
fitting.
We go? I was excited. We were going to do a big old ministry break.
When I rap, it changes the game.
We wrapped and
cross-dressed. It changes the game when I rap.
Oh, man. Chris cross-dress will make you
jump.
Yeah.
Cross-dress will make you jump.
No. That'll get you in trouble.
Gosh.
Cross-dress will make you get looked down
Not in
on.
India.
Not now. Michelle Schroff.
For more on that, check out our podcast, mystaticradio.com. Michelle Schroff, please talk about something awesome like Project Zoe so we can get away from this train wreck.
Project Zoe is a ministry outreach that we reach out to girls between the ages of 13 and 25. We provide them with some hopefully cute outfits and accessories and most importantly with Jesus.
Yeah, so, amen to that.
Yeah, and workshops.
How can people get involved? I mean... You know, a lot going on with Project Zoe.
There's tons of ways to get involved. I mean, you don't have to just, you know, come in and mentor or volunteer in Project Zoe. We have an unbelievable dentistry office here in town that provides dental work to the girls free of charge.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So if you're a restaurant or, you know.
Yeah.
catering, whatever. I mean, we can always use that when we have our workshops. We love to feed the girls and make sure that, you know, they're going to have at least one really good, nutritious meal for the day.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Feed the girls. Bring them my food tray.
Wow.
Tell them, Dawn.
This is like the commercial right here. We got Michelle Schroff like leading the way, and then Dawn's just in the background singing. In the arms.
I'm a hype girl. In the
arms. Y'all just let
so
me
you,
know.
You just go, and you talk, and then Dawn's gonna sing. You go.
That's
ready?
What,
go.
She's back
commercial.
Up.
There you go. Project Zoe. Pitch it. I'm just kidding.
That's right.
So you guys really do have a lot going on.
We do.
Every day.
We do. So. We have new t-shirts coming out. We have the Your Wanted t-shirts. It's to encourage young ladies that even though they may not feel like they're wanted or valued, but they are by Christ and he died for them. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're encouraging them in that direction, that it's not just about, you know, the here and now, that they can look at eternity and what Christ did for them. You know, and with Easter coming up, we figured it's the perfect time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's incredible. Really excited. The whole t-shirt thing has been just a blast. Absolute blast. So
I've been sporting mine.
Hey.
Regularly.
Yeah. You haven't been sporting your You Are Beautiful, though, have you?
I have not. I want the Your Wanted t-shirt because I had a Wanted t-shirt, but it was a Bon Jovi Wanted Dead or Alive. So.
No.
No, not the same?
Okay. A little different.
Any way we can incorporate that to Project
Zoe?
That's
right.
Project Jove?
Jove.
No?
Jove. Not today.
No, okay.
Not today.
Where's John Bon Jovi? He's
That's
got
right.
the best hair in the biz, yo.
He used to.
He really did used to.
Not anymore. Not so much.
It's all the same.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
We have to do, like, at least... Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give it over to you, and you're going to talk Project Zoe.
Right.
Matt and I are going to shut up, and you have 30 seconds to talk about Project Zoe without one of us interjecting or trying to make a joke.
Oh, wow. That's going to be interesting. Project Zoe, we're located right behind Dion's on Montgomery and Morris. If you guys would like to come by, check it out. Check out the awesome repurposed decor. Also, we have tons of girls that hang out and like to dress other girls. We also love to do workshops. We'd love to do hair and makeup. Calm down, Steve. It's only, 10 more seconds? 6, 5. And we like to eat.
We did it!
Wow. I'm impressed.
I was talking the whole time.
Oh!
He was texting.
I was texting.
There were like 3 setups for great jokes, too.
I know. I saw.
Yeah.
You had to step away from the mic.
I really did.
It's true.
I almost ruined it. You guys do incredible things. All jokes aside.
We have a blast.
It is amazing.
We have a blast. We've had some great opportunities in the last month. We were able to set up an appointment for a young lady that was being trafficked. Unfortunately, we were... it got interrupted by her employer, but you know, God is doing amazing things here in Albuquerque, and we are just so blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to even see the volunteers, they're, you know, the girls come in, we dress them up and we get so excited. They're like our little baby dolls, and then they leave and we're like on our knees crying and, you know, just blown away by what God has done.
Yeah.
Not only in them, but in us, you know, just being able to set ourselves aside. And, you know, we may come in, and it's funny because we joke all the time, oh, wow, that girl came in with such a bad attitude, and she left just so gracious and so, you know, she so appreciated the clothes and is excited about coming back. And we're like, yeah, I kind of came in with a bad attitude also, you know, my kid threw a major temper tantrum before I got here. And, you know, while we were there in the moment, it's so cool that, you know, we can just lay it aside and be able to minister to them where they're at. And, you know, that's the most important thing, is that we're not... you know, telling them what they need to do and how they need to do it and what mistakes that they've made. But we're just loving on them and, you know, trying to match earrings with their necklace.
Yeah. It's incredible how the Holy Spirit can, I mean, as our comfort, as our helper, as our counselor, guide us when we're having a crappy day, when we're doing something, when we pour out and give of ourselves, how he's able to fill us up and get us through that. As I mean, there are so many times where I
am having a bad day and I do it not out with the right attitude, but just like, oh, okay, let my yes be yes and my no be no. I said I was going to do this. I need to take care of it. I need to be a man of my word. I'm going to go do this. And then by the end of it, you realize how much God has used that moment in your life.
It's humbling. It's absolutely so humbling.
Yeah. There's many times in my life where I've had like an opportunity come up to help out in a ministry or do something. And you get this feeling of dread all day. And you're just like, I really don't want to do it. I just don't feel like it. But then it seems like the ones that you dread the most, if you actually do them, you're like, man, that was great. I'm really glad I did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No wonder I was feeling so dreadful about it, because I would have missed out if I wouldn't have come, you know?
Yep.
And like, I think, too, like with Project Zoe, what we have a lot of times is we have some girls that may make an appointment and they're unable to make it, or something comes up, or we had a girl this week that she ran away, you know? So I think a lot of it for us is really dying to ourselves and, you know, not feeling like, oh, they totally stood us up. You know what? We're just not going to deal with them anymore. And it's so easy to do that. And I think that they've seen that all their life. You know, they've felt like a disappointment. So why not disappoint? And who cares if I show? And I don't know these people. And then when they finally come, we're like, oh, I'm so glad we didn't write them off.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's when we really see Christ move, because it's in those times that we can't explain. You know, we're just like, okay, dude, that was totally God.
Because
I was like so mad at that girl for canceling the last 8 times.
I was so mad at that girl.
I was so mad at you.
I was so mad at you. But it's really cool. And, you know, we'll have some young ladies that may come in and they're not cool with it. And they're like, serious? Like, I only wear a dress for court. Like, why are you trying to put me in a dress? And our goal is, you know, we don't carry shorts. We do carry some jeans, but we want the girls to kind of explore a little bit about who they are, because we notice that they're kind of like, oh, well, you know, when I was in jail, I didn't really wear shoes. I just wore slippers, so I don't even know what size shoes I wear anymore, you know? And we're going, okay, well, try these on. And it's so just, I don't know, and it makes me think of it, you know, in my walk, how I just get so comfortable doing things the way that I've been doing them, and God's going, Michelle, seriously? Get out the high heels, put on the Nikes, get to CrossFit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like just being able to step out of that, and it makes it so that I can have compassion on them and go, what's the big deal? It's a dress.
Right.
But to them, a dress exemplifies vulnerability. It says, I'm dressed up, and that's not necessarily what they want to share with the world. But in reality, that's not what the world thinks.
Right.
That's just what the crowd they've been running with thinks.
Yeah.
So, and that's what we're trying to do, is we're working with girls that are being reintegrated back into society right now. And a lot of them are just like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I have a style.
Yeah.
And that's a great opportunity for us to share. You know, Christ made you uniquely. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why you don't like certain things. And, you know, God can totally use that. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's just so cool. I never thought that God could use, you know, a maxi skirt. But it's awesome, you know? It's really awesome. And we love doing what we do.
How can we help out? You need clothing, accessories.
We always need clothes, accessories. Volunteers are great. Right now, we're planning to do girls' night. We have some young ladies that are not allowed to come out of the facilities that they're in. We work with a reintegration center, and they come out of juvie, and most of the girls were, their convictions were drugs. So they slowly are able to be reintegrated, but we're planning on doing girls' nights, but going there and doing them.
Okay.
So, you know, we need food. We need people to, you know, that would love to step up and donate, you know, bath and body, you know, soaps, and, you know, ways that they can pamper themselves. We want to do mani-pedis and, you know, have little dance parties and stuff like that. So there's always that. We need mentors, you know, and we're not looking for the perfect person to come in and say, you suck. This is how you need to live. We really want people that are passionate, that feel called to share what they've been through.
Right.
And to be able to say, this is where I was, and this is where God brought me to.
Well, I mean, we are called as Christians to humble ourselves. And if we humble ourselves before God and we do it as unto the Lord, then I think there are times in ministry where we get tripped up as humans because we see somebody who is continuing in a sin or who it just keeps falling back into a lifestyle, and you want to smack him and go, hey! But it's incredible that God is so patient with us. He's merciful. He's loving. And yes, he wants to fix us.
Well, as soon as those words leave my mouth, like, I want to smack him. It's so funny how God is so faithful to show me, hey, Michelle, you know that little problem you've been having that you don't share with anyone and you kind of think it's like real private? Well, I know.
Right.
And I say it's cool now because, of course, God's like, I got your number, girl.
Right.
Don't even think you're going to go around poking out everyone else's sin. You got your own set of issues.
Yeah.
You might want to keep your eyes there.
Yeah.
And it's so cool when you do. You know, in those times that I am successful in doing that, the joy that Christ gives me and being able to help others and saying, you know what? They're human. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would we need Christ for if we weren't?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, what God's been showing all of us. And really and truly just being able to love without boundaries, without, you know, oh, well, you know, they're living with their boyfriend. And you know what? I'm sorry. They've made a profession of faith. You know what? I don't remember waking up the next morning and going, wow, my life is perfect.
Right.
I've been able to walk away from every sin in my life. And, you know, there's sanctification.
Man, and it's, absolutely. It's a process.
That's right.
It.
And you won't arrive until your final three words, you know? It's like,
that's it. I have arrived.
I have arrived.
That's perfect.
Oh, man.
But it's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have arrived.
We can't boast in ourselves.
Right.
And I think that's the hugest thing that trips us up.
Yeah.
And I think with the girls, too, you know, they've identified with their gang. They've identified with their drugs, their pimp, their abusive father, their abusive, you know, girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
They've been able for so long to identify with those things. And Christ says, no, I am your identity.
Yeah.
I am the one you need to be identifying with.
It is no longer us who live, but Christ in us.
In us.
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
And that is, I think, the saving grace of it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. You can find out information at Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get there. Check everything out. Michelle, you're amazing. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Thanks.
It's always fun to talk to you.
It is.
It's great, man. No matter what's going
on.
It's cool. So aspenproject.org. You can check out details for Project Zoe. As I said, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get there. And while you're there, you can check out information on the Aspen Project as well as a ministry a nonprofit that Dawn's working with right now. And you're finding local support. We're talking global support here in just a few.
International.
Yeah. That's coming up. Details on that, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static Radio.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Team Awesome Morning Party. It is Steve-O, Mateo, and Don Michello.
Here I am.
That's crank.
That one comes in strong.
Yeah, it does.
Heavy.
Speaking of coming in strong, look at that. We already got Theology Thursday waiting in the wings.
Oh, yeah, they're like biting their fingernails out there just trying to break down the door.
Get out of here, ladies.
We got 25 minutes until Theology Thursday. It is going to be a phenomenal
Phoenix
show.
Phoenix is already here meditating.
He's already got his stack of books ready. We're going to be talking about the resurrection.
He's got interns wheeling
He's stretching out his arm, getting ready to throw those books at you.
It's going
to
be good. It's going to be good. Man, speaking of amazing, you are currently working with a nonprofit doing something rad. We just talked to Michelle Schroff, who deals with Project Zoe, who helps young
right
ladies
here in the community.
In the community of Albuquerque as they are kind of being reintegrated into society.
Yeah, which is so incredible. And for me, in my walk, it seems like my opportunities have kind of come always like at an international level to help support people all over the world. And a lot of times I hear, and I'm sure she does too, people are like, well, you know, well, we got problems right here.
Right.
And I want to be like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And guess what? We're supposed to help here and there.
Yeah.
It doesn't excuse us. We're supposed to help everyone. Because guess what?
Yeah.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And it's not like, it doesn't have to be either or. Because the cool thing is that, especially in other countries, it's so easy to help because just a little bit goes a long way.
Right.
Because not everybody needs a fancy car and 80 pairs of shoes and a really giant house with a huge air conditioning bill, you know?
True that.
Over in third world countries where they have almost nothing, just a little bit helps so much.
Yeah.
You know, you can send a kid to school for like a whole year for $50 over there.
Right.
You know? So that's what's awesome about this company that I'm working with right now. We're a fair trade nonprofit organization called All Across Africa.
Yeah.
And originally it was just an outreach over to Rwanda after the genocide in 1994. Hopefully most people know there was a tremendous war in Rwanda where the people in power were of a certain tribe and then the people who were not were of another tribe. And so there was a big war where one tribe tried to wipe out the other and over a million people were killed almost overnight in that country. So as a relief agency, they went over and they were trying to find practical ways to help the people to recover, especially the women. Many of them lost multiple children, their husbands, their entire family is just wiped out. So they just went over and they're like, well, how can we help these women help themselves? Because, you know, a lot of times you see like handouts and you're like, well, yeah, but how's that going to help them support themselves?
Yeah.
So to be really practical about it, they found the women and they were making these incredible baskets just from nature around them. Beautiful, colorful, incredible baskets. But they would work for 4 days and they would get like 80 cents for it in the marketplace. And so they thought, how can we help these women? They just need a better market. Yeah. And so they started this company to be able to distribute them across the United States and give people the chance to help them out. And now we have over 3,000 women that bring us their baskets and they all make the same as a college educated school teacher in their country now.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
It's incredible. Yeah. And so, and it's just, and really these baskets are works of art.
What's awesome is that you mentioned what happened in Rwanda in 94.
Yeah.
And usually here what happens in America is, oh man, that's so sad. That Hurricane Katrina, that's sad. We should help out right now. And then 6 months later, it's like, oh man, did you hear about that other thing that happened? That's crazy too. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear about, you hear about nonprofits like this that are going, hey man, this happened in 94, 20 years ago. People are still in need.
Totally.
20 years later.
Yeah,
we're
not
talking about those same people.
Because I can tell you, my little brother died in the late 80s, and guess what? It still impacts me.
Right, right.
So these people who were in this terrible war and lost so much of their families, they're still living that life.
Yes.
And so it's really neat. And since then, new programs have opened up now. We've been working in the area so long that the orphans are growing up. So we have a program for the orphans who are 18 to 26. In these countries, the family passes down your trade. So if you don't have a family, the cycle continues of homelessness, joblessness, on into their adulthood. So now they've got sewing machines and they've got fabrics and they make these incredible sling bags and they sign their name on the inside when they finish. So it's really neat. You can look inside the bag and see who made the actual bag. And then we have paper bead programs now. They make the prettiest paper beads I've ever seen. And it helps women who suffer from HIV in Rwanda or who have been displaced from their homes into Uganda by the war with Joseph Kony and the LRA, which there's been a big push lately to help increase awareness about Joseph Kony and what's going on over there, the invisible children. These are all happening simultaneously. So, but just these little programs, a little bit of something, you know, finding an awesome gift for somebody can also be an incredible gift for someone overseas.
Isn't that amazing? As we look at the different cultures from American culture and what's going on in Africa, as you said, allacrossafrica.org for information on that. But should we take a random phone call? The phone lines have been like blowing up.
Let's do it.
Let's find it. Static.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the Rwanda thing.
Yeah.
I went to Rwanda back in 2011.
Wow.
And I stayed out there for a couple of months. My brother is running an orphanage out there.
So great.
But the kids that are out there are, you know, they're in their 18s, 20s now. And it's just, like, crazy the way that you see that the people that were killed during the genocide, like, their kids are growing up and they don't have anything because their parents were killed.
Right.
And, like, seeing this kind of thing, you know, just hearing about people going out there and being supportive of all that, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah,
and I just wanted to call in and chime in about that, so.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Man, and that's what's incredible, you know. Hey, a listener. He went to Rwanda in 2011. That's an incredible story in and of itself. That's one thing that
I've never been overseas on a mission trip anywhere, you know? And I know, and that's what people say. Well, there are people right here. Every day is a mission field.
Totally.
And wherever you are in the world, wherever you're listening from, you're on a mission field. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool because then we have the hometown projects like Aspen Project, Project Zoe, and then we have all across Africa, which, Dawn, you're working with now, that are providing jobs for, as you said, what, thousands of women?
Yeah, over 3,000 women now. Have a stable income to help their family in Rwanda because like a million people were killed overnight. In Africa, they have big families, you know? So if you kill a million adults, you know, that leaves multiples, millions and millions of children, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's, unfortunately, many children were also killed in the conflict and count towards that million. But so most of the families have one or two orphans that they've also taken in along with their children.
Wow.
Because the country, it's really incredible learning more about Rwanda. Like there was like a public decree made by the government that you had to forgive. Because the thing is like it was the Hutu, the Tutsi. The Hutu tried to wipe out the Tutsi, but they all still live there together.
Right.
And there was a government mandate that you had to forgive.
Yeah.
Wow. I think it was Time or maybe it was CNN just did a story about forgiveness, and it was pictures of Hutu and Tutsi, literally people who had wiped out the other person's family, standing in a picture together.
Wow.
And they talked about reconciliation and what it means to forgive.
Wow.
Because in a lot of ways, the Hutu were operating kind of like under military orders, you know. And, you know, when you get caught up in a mob effect kind of thing like that. But they're all still living there together. And so it's like, well, how do you fix that? Oh,
right.
Well, you just give them meaningful work and you pay them for what they do, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're all about.
It's incredible. We just talked about this on Shock Therapy Live yesterday. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness.
Yep.
Do we need to forgive? And it's... I don't mean to belittle because there are important stories here as well, but as we talk about forgiveness, it's
right.
Like, oh, my brother stole from me, or, you know, my family member did this, and we hear these things, and then you
well,
hear,
my neighbor
hey,
killed my husband
my
and my two
killed
children.
My entire family.
Right.
And now I'm taking a picture with him, and this is reconciliation.
It's incredible.
It
was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Wow. You can check out details at facebook.com/mystaticradio. We posted it, or allacrossafrica.org to see the organization that Dawn is involved with. And wow.
And come see me.
Yeah, you're hanging
come
out
see
here.
Me
you're
in the
you're
next
bringing
week?
It. Yeah, in the next week.
All
the, Albuquerque.
All the information about how you can come see Dawn and All Across Africa here in Albuquerque is at our Facebook.
Wow, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We got to take a break. Coming up, we got some Pawn Shop Kings. We've got some Red Jumpsuit. We also have a very important Theology Thursday as we talk about the ways that we get involved. We are only able to do this because of a man named Jesus Christ who was fully human, who was fully God, who came to this earth, lived and showed us how to live, died for us, conquered the grave. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his life, his death, his resurrection, what it means for you. And I don't know that I've been more excited for Theology Thursday because
it's gonna
we're
be a good one.
We're digging
Rad.
In. So
digging
all the details in. For everything we've talked about this morning at facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get there, get involved, and while you're there, make sure you chime in Theology Thursday. It's coming up at 9 o'clock. If you have a question, maybe about the resurrection, about scripture, about anything theological that has to do with Jesus Christ, that is what we are going to be talking about today. It is on the way on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
And begin.
Good morning.
Yeah.
It is Thursday and one of our favorite hours of the week.
Not only favorite hours, but a favorite week of the week.
favorite week of the week. Wouldn't it be week of the year there?
That would be. Yes.
Pastor.
This is my favorite week of this week. And it won't change.
And not only that, it's Monday, Thursday of our favorite week of
is
our favorite
Monday.
Day.
Wait. Monday, Thursday. I know that. That's when Al Pacino's wife was trying to learn English, right? Monday, Thursday.
No.
A Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what happens in the first Godfather movie.
No.
Where she's like,
Monday.
I know, I speak English.
Monday. Monday, Thursday, gentlemen. Is Holy Thursday, and you're exactly right.
Feet.
It comes after, you know.
That was so close.
It's a whole. It's
washing
part of the
feet.
Holy Week. So for all our Lutheran, Anglican, you know, some Methodist listeners, they will appreciate the fact that I just did a shout out for Monday Thursday.
Shout out to Monday Thursday, also the first Godfather.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you
Corleone.
That.
And you need a bowl of pasta when you talk about this.
It's a Vito Corleone. Mm,
Vito Corleone. Yeah.
It's traditionally, by the way, since you guys asked.
Brian, give us the breakdown.
It's traditionally, Monday, Thursday is traditionally the day where you would wash one another's feet.
I wore my sandals.
In commemoration of the Last Supper. So what you do is you have a Last Supper, you wash each other's feet in preparation for Good Friday, which of course is the day the Lord died, in case you guys forgot.
Why would we forget? That was the day Jesus made us an offer we can't refuse.
Oh!
Yeah.
Paid the price.
If you know what I mean!
Yeah.
Hey, can I say something on a completely different note?
Yes. Sure.
No.
And I mean, you're going to anyway. So.
I should have said this in front of Don.
Yeah.
You know, because Mateo's wife is back.
Yeah. Right.
And that's always nice to see them together because she's always touring and he's always touring.
Yeah.
But here's the nice thing. He did an amazing rap this morning.
What?
He did.
That was ad-lib. And I was impressed. I thought, man. And she was so proud of him at that moment.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah. She supports me in my rapping.
There you go.
Not so much in all the other affairs that come along with rapping, but not literal affairs like, like you guys get it. Like all the drug running and all that lesser stuff.
Yeah.
She supports that.
The drug running?
And the gang fights.
This is not Shocked Every Live, buddy.
I've been meaning to call in on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awkward for me to pose those questions when I'm sitting right there. Like, hey, I've got an anonymous question. It's not from me.
It's about a rap artist friend of mine and his affairs.
He's got tons of stuff wrong with him.
Man, it is Theology Thursday. Pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Pietro in studio. We have been talking about this week specifically for a very long time. If you have questions about Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, this is what we are going to focus on today, and really excited. So,
what's the number?
Very excited.
505-338-3700. Thanks, Brian. You're the best.
338-3700. Hey, Mateo.
All right.
Yeah. Mateo, could you do like a little rap with that number? And let's say the first person who calls and has a legitimate question about Christ, his death, life, or resurrection, after Matt raps 338-3700, they'll get a ticket to Copper Lily.
Got a pair of tickets.
We got a pair of tickets to Copper Lily in Santa Fe this weekend.
It's Monday.
This Monday. So, well, Monday's kind of week. But you have to listen to Mateo's rap of the phone number for Theology Thursday, and then you have to be the first caller. Here we go.
On the spot. Are you ready?
I don't know.
You got this. Yeah. Theology Thursday, yo.
Well, I'm here to say we're going to have a show about Resurrection Day. It's really cool, yo. You want to call in, get some info back? Call 338-3700. It ain't whack.
Yeah.
I had to change the rhythm a little bit, Doug. You get me.
Oh,
hey, I like that. Hey, you know,
that is talent. He does have talent.
Not only does he come up with the words, you know, right there, but he changes his voice to, you know, to kind of like that old
hump. What is that? Is that like a
that covers
Humpty
my identity?
From,
that's so nobody knows. Me. Hey, yeah, everybody. Yes.
Yeah,
actually, Humpty had a deep voice. It's a Humpty dance.
Yeah,
see,
that's
right. I like to say
Slick Rick too.
Right.
I like to say the most gangster things I can with the most unintimidating voice.
But remember,
possible.
If you call 338-3700 and you have a legitimate question, you get tickets to Copper Lily this coming Monday.
There you go. We have two pair because the phone lines are jammed, and so give them. Intern Doug, we'll give them to both callers on the line right now.
Duh.
If you would like to chime in through Facebook,
bro, you just gave them away. They may not have a legitimate question.
They have a legitimate
question. Okay, let's
He's
go
taking
to them.
Down information. We can't yet. Gosh, who is hosting this?
But, hey,
I want to see if they're legitimate.
What if they call in and they're like, "Hey, is this Toys R Us? Y'all got the Dragon's Orb?"
That's exactly right. You have just given away our tickets, and they could be a Toys R Us caller.
Yeah, they're calling. They're like, "Y'all got the Dragon's Orb? Yeah, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Y'all got that?" All right.
Yeah. And then we're going to have to say, no, but we got those free two tickets that Steve-O gave away.
I don't want that. It ain't country. I don't want it.
Copper Lily this Monday, 7 p.m., Calvary, Santa Fe. It is it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Tim Skipper, Stephanie Skipper, they make up Copper Lily, frontman of House of Heroes, and, of course, formerly known as Stephanie Smith. So the duo, now known as Copper Lily, we're going to be there hanging out.
Yes, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Jarrett Pietro will be there.
Come hang out with us this Monday. Calvary Santa Fe, you better be there.
You better be there, dog.
It's your church.
Seven? Mm-hmm. Starts at seven? All right.
All right.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to chime in. Now, last week, before we dig in deep, we got a question about Jesus Christ v. Lucifer and the fact that in Scripture we hear Lucifer called the morning star. We hear Jesus called the bright morning star. And so the question was, what is it? Is Jesus the morning star? Is Lucifer the morning star? What does that term even mean? So, Jerry, right. You're rocking and rolling. You got tabs on tabs.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, you know what? Actually, two great references that we find in the scriptures is Isaiah chapter 14 and also Ezekiel 28. If you're to read those passages, you'll find out and you'll discover what happened or the history behind the fall of Lucifer, who became Satan. And I like to phrase it that way because he was created as Lucifer, which Lucifer means the morning star, the son of the morning, actually, to be more specific. But with that, in that passage, and I'll start with Isaiah 14. Briefly, it says in Isaiah 14, verse 12, and just reading here, this is where we get the morning star. It says, he says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you were cut down to the ground. You have weakened the nations, and you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" So we have the five I wills there, if you've ever heard of that. But also at the top end, you find that Lucifer's name is given in reference. Later on, we tie in. We know that Lucifer is Satan. Satan is a title which is Satanas in Greek, meaning destroyer.
Yeah.
But the initial thought was when he was created, he was to be the son of the morning. In so many ways, as the enemy, or I would say the devil, tries to mimic or to copy God's plan in so many ways, even when we think of the Antichrist later on in history, he took that title upon himself and wanted to be the son of the morning in the sense of the morning star. Now, Christ is the morning star, and so he is just wanting to be, in many ways, like the Savior of mankind, but in a very perverted way, of course, very prideful. So that's where that idea comes from. But we're told very clearly later on, as Peter would talk about, that Christ is the morning star, that he is the bright and morning star, and that we are to awake out of our sleep, that we are to be aware of the times we live in, and to look to the Lord, because he is the you know, Alpha and Omega. And let me just say this, there is a real morning star. You know, when you think about, you know, just how the sun, you know, just before the sun rises, the last part of darkness before the sun rises, Steve-O, that's where that comes from, is that there's a star that shines brightest just before.
Shines bright like a diamond.
That was going to be my contribution. Yes. He just hit
the science behind
the term morning star.
Right.
Actually refers to the planet Venus when it appears.
That's right.
Right before sunrise.
Right.
The science behind it, morning star is another term for the planet Venus that when it appears right before sunrise. So just a little
tidbit. Theological discussion. Yeah. So what I'm to gather then is Lucifer,
wanted
morning
to be
star.
That.
The morning star is Venus. Women are from Venus, therefore women are Satan.
Wow.
Well, no.
Are you sure? Because that was pretty quick.
Are you sure?
Okay. Yeah. I've got a rap song about this.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
No, I'm
let's
kidding.
Do it.
I don't have a rap song. But we do have, we move on, we have a couple callers ready.
That's interesting. That's very interesting, though. So Satan, basically, Lucifer, wanted to be the bright morning star.
Yes.
Okay.
And he was called the son of the morning. It doesn't say morning star about him. A son of the morning, which it applies to a star. But again, you know, when you think of Christ, he is the bright morning star in the sense that he is the hope within the last part of darkness, bringing in a new light, if you will, as the sun just before it rises.
Right.
And so therefore we look to Christ as our bright morning star.
Now, jokingly, of course, I mentioned the Venus thing, how easy that was to train wreck and to get off topic of theology. Because
bad hermeneutics right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so is that possible that that's where some cults get the idea of, hey, Satan and Jesus, they're brothers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Good to know.
And you know, it goes on many threads. I mean, even when you think of purgatory, because when even Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "You'll be with me in paradise,"
yeah,
even thinking
today.
Of that. And he doesn't say heaven, and that's true, because heaven is a different place. But paradise was included in paradise. Abraham's bosom is also Hades, and that's kind of an interesting thing, and that's more theological.
Right.
But Christ had to be the first fruits to raise from the dead to be able to then enter into heaven as the firstborn.
All right. That's good stuff, Petro. Yeah. We got the people that won the ticket, so let's get these legitimate questions.
Let's do it.
Going out to line two now. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Did you?
John, happy Monday, Thursday.
Hey, man. Yeah. Happy Monday, Thursday. See, this guy knows
Monday, Thursday.
Do you have?
I don't really know. I just heard you saying it.
Oh, man. You just disappointed me. Hey, do you have a legitimate question so you could pick up your Copper Lily tickets?
Yeah,
when I first called, my question wasn't as legitimate, but as I was listening to you guys, I thought of a more legitimate add-on to my question.
Okay.
So I've noticed in a lot of, you know, the end of the New Testament books, there'll be parts of it, you know, like where Jesus appears to the witnesses and then stays with them for a while. There'll always be notes that say, you know, some earlier manuscripts don't have this. And I'm wondering, what's the validity of those things that have those notes? Because a lot of times those sections are pretty theologically important. I mean, like, you know, the woman who was accused of adultery.
Right.
You know, you have like, you know, I feel like, because I've had friends that have asked me similar questions to that, and they're saying, well, okay, you know, you guys can't even make up your own mind about what's actually the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. Let me just reference here really quick, because there's two issues. You bring up specifically Revelation chapter 11, where it's talking about the two witnesses. And when you say that they admit it, they don't admit the whole section. Some of the ancient manuscripts only omit portions of it. So as an example, in Revelation 11:1, some of the ancient manuscripts omit, "and the angel stood." And that really doesn't change the overall contextual meaning of the verse. And other verses in that section, they may have an interplay or an exchange of the word Lord versus, other names put in there. But generally speaking, Revelation 11 is a solid textual portion of Scripture, meaning there are very few contextual changes within it. The larger question is, you know, throughout church history, is not so much is it legitimate scripture, but who are the two witnesses? And, you know, you get, I would think most Calvaries, probably Baptists and people of this ilk would say that the best guess would be it would be Moses and Elijah representing the law and prophets. However, commentators throughout history have given a whole host of individuals. I think of Albert Barnes, who is a tremendous, I mean, just was a wonderful commentator. He was at 10th Presbyterian Church there in Pennsylvania during the 1800s. And in his commentary on Revelation, he literally thought that the two witnesses were Luther and Calvin, because he was, of course, of the Reformed disposition, and he was post-millennial. So he interpreted Revelation as an unfolding, you know, a historical unfolding. So he thought of Revelation and the two witnesses possibly as Luther and Calvin. Obviously, we in this studio, who tend to be more premillennial, we wouldn't agree with that. But, you know, there's been a lot of speculation as to who these people are. But again, back to your original question, the actual text itself, true, there are some variations in some of the early manuscripts, but they do not change the meaning. Really, what they do is they just omit the little terminology, "and the angel stood." And again, that doesn't change the meaning of the two witnesses or anything else. But
yeah.
But does that help your question, answer your question?
Yeah, the other part of it was, you know, like the part in, I think it's Mark or Matthew, when they talk about the woman who was accused of adultery.
Yeah, that's in John.
And John 8.
Yeah,
is John? Okay, and then, now, you know, my Bible has a note that says, you know, some earlier manuscripts don't even include the entire story.
Yeah, now that is true. Now, you bring up a very, very fascinating component.
Yeah.
When you look at the totality of the New Testament, there are three heavily disputed sections of Scripture. And when I say heavily disputed, there isn't a biblical scholar who would say that any of these three are found than the earliest manuscripts. As a matter of fact, they don't pop up until usually about 100 years later. And that's the ending of Mark, the woman caught in adultery, and the section in 1 John where it refers to the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Now, those are the only three portions of Scripture in the entirety of the New Testament where large segments of Scripture are disputed. And again, none of those three have any reference to earlier manuscripts. Now, let me say here that the portion you just referenced, the woman caught in adultery, is very fascinating in that it was not in the earliest sections of John. Rather, it bounced around in different sections of the other Gospels. So in some early manuscripts, it was in Luke. In others, it was in Mark. So here's a classic example of what we would say an independent narrative about Jesus. And it, chances are, was very much a true story that occurred within the life of Jesus, but it was written down independently of these. And so when the gospel writers were putting this together, they thought, well, here's a legitimate story that was true. We just have to find a place for it. And it wasn't until later, much later, in the third century, that they really began to find a place for it in the Gospel of John. And I want to be clear, just because it's not found in some of the earliest manuscripts does not necessitate that it is not true. Okay. Mm-hmm. I believe that section there in John 8 was an independent narrative that, again, floated around. It would almost be like, let me do a comparison. Let's say in here, Mateo and myself write down of what Steve-O said this past hour.
Uh-oh.
And we have our narratives. And let's say that that's the book of Brian and the book of Mateo. And we have this. Well, Jarrett, who also is in this room, he wrote something down that we happened to miss. So it would be likened to our two books are kind of definitive. And then Jarrett inserted this story, and it was like, well, do I put it in Brian's book or do I put it in Mateo's book? Okay. So there's examples of that happening in the early New Testament.
And let me just say this, too, that in the totality of that, it doesn't take away from the nature of Christ, because my thought would be, well, if that's added, what else is added? What else is taken out? Who's to determine that? You got to remember, these are early manuscripts, so we're talking first century here. So, but also, with the consistency of the nature of Jesus, even without John chapter 8 or Mark chapter 16 or 1 John 5, what you have is it doesn't negate or take away from any of that. Even the one with the triunity of God in 1 John 5 doesn't take away from the Trinity, because other passages in Scripture, even Isaiah 6 for that matter, which says, who shall go for us? You know, my Father and I are one, as Jesus said, even going back to Genesis, where the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth. And, you know, so it speaks in the plural. But the point is that it does not take away from the rest of the passage.
And I would recommend you, again, we mentioned this gentleman last week, but Daniel Wallace from Dallas Theological Seminary, he does amazing work, not only on early manuscript evidence and discussing that, but he actually does scholarly research on these and has a website and great stuff. I would encourage you to check out Daniel Wallace.
What about F.F. Bruce? I know I was over at Parchments this morning because it's that sale going on right now, so I'm like, I'm getting me some theology Thursday books, and they had the Canon of Scripture there by F.F. Bruce, resource for the same.
Exactly. And here's the difference between Daniel Wallace and F.F. Bruce. F.F. Bruce is more of a historian. He talks about how the canon came to formation. He doesn't deal as much with textual variances Daniel Wallace.
Okay.
Daniel Wallace goes to the earliest manuscripts, looks at the variances, and discusses those from a scholarly standpoint. F.F. Bruce talks about the history, the formation of the Bible.
Perfect. Does that
but
help
both
you?
Are great.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Thanks.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thanks, man. And I definitely wanted to mention.
And you get your he gets his Copper Lily tickets.
You get his information. Awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, man. You know where.
Hey,
to pick
this
him
is
up.
Good stuff. Good. Why don't we do the next caller as a?
We got one.
Oh,
we
do.
Caller. So here's the thing. Also, want to remind you, as I was just thinking
let's
about
give them
it,
tickets.
Easter sale going on at Parchments right here on our campus. As we celebrate.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What is it? He is Risen is the sale? Is that the name of the sale?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
there we go.
And even if you're not here in Albuquerque, you could go to parchments.com and to get some more information there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the cool thing is, as we said, Theology Thursday, there is an end cap, and FF Bruce, now I have to race over there because I was looking at the canon of scripture this morning thinking that was the one I want.
Yeah.
If I'm going to buy one resource right now, Phoenix, hit me.
Okay, if you were on the formation of
anything,
scripture,
just give me a resource
well,
right now.
Well, FF Bruce is great, but I even have from text to translation, I really think is for the common reader because it has pictures and graphs. No.
Jerk.
It actually is more scholarly.
It's got pictures and it's, numbers.
But that's helpful. That I'm saying you graphs and pictures. It is a more scholarly book. That's why we don't
it's
say it as much.
It's got pictures. It's but got from cover text, by number.
Text to translations because it is very... It's more scholarly,
okay,
but it does have graphs and things, and it's really a tremendous resource. So I were to say if someone's interested in biblical translation, it really, that would be the book I would say to
perfect.
Go to.
All right, thank you. Keeping it going, we're talking Theology Thursday here. Pastors Brian Nixon, Jarrett Petro in studio. Me and Teo just kind of drinking from a fire hydrant. Some's getting in the mouth. Kay. Everything's pouring around us because there's a lot of information to take in right now, which is why we podcast our show at mystaticradio.com so that you can hear it 4 and 5 times to take everything in. We had a great question. Line one, we're going out this Sunday. We are celebrating Easter, and with Easter comes the resurrection of Jesus Christ and some Easter eggs. So I know we had a question about that. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello. So I have a question about Easter eggs. So I work in kids ministry. And obviously, you know, we want everything to relate to our kids. So how does an Easter egg hunt or Easter eggs relate to Christ's resurrection?
Well, do you want the pagan view of that or the
deep theological?
Well, let me just tell you, obviously the whole Easter egg with the goddess worship back in the day, it does have some pagan roots to the birth and life and all that. But the overarching thing with an Easter egg is, let's just face it, in the believer's life, we're not superstitious, as Paul would say in Acts 17. We don't, you know, have to worry about that stuff anymore. So if we celebrate and do Easter eggs or even have the Easter bunny, none of that matters. Quite honestly, that's just, we have a liberty in that. But let me just say that it speaks of life, and obviously the egg is God's creation. But the interesting thing is there is a treasure inside, right? I mean, it's like, you know, and that's what it speaks of, God's creation, God's provision, if you will. Spring is sprung. And I think, you know, a creative way with the egg is that it much is like, I've seen youth leaders use it as a, like the representation of the tomb, where they take and they, I don't know if you can do, you know, put a hole in it and you blow out the middle part, and it's a shell, but it's to represent the empty tomb, and there's a whole you know, idea behind that. But there is nothing wrong with Easter eggs in that sense. I think you know, in our society, it's just a holiday. Yeah.
The actual tradition predates Christianity by many, many years. Yeah. As a matter of fact, some historians believe that could go back to 60,000 years ago. But what we definitely do know is that eggs were found in both Sumerian and Egyptian graves. The ostrich eggs were decorated and buried specifically, as Jarrett said, to represent new life, that there was a resurrection of sorts. Of course, when Christ came, died, rose again, Easter eggs took on a new meaning. They were redeemed, if you will. The process of that tradition was redeemed to represent Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. Sadly, it appears in today's day and age that we've come full circle. Easter eggs have kind of taken on a life of themselves. They're no longer pointed to Jesus Christ, but rather, again, they've become an independent thing, just kind of elusively related to spring. However, I agree with Jarrett. I think if you are to use Easter eggs, you should point back to Christ.
Can you, I mean, therefore, go to, I think, Colossians chapter 2 immediately, where it says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon,
or a
Sabbath, if you want to rock Easter
in Christ,
eggs.
Right. Yeah, in Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And let me just say, here in the 1600s, Paul V, who was a pope, he actually officially adopted the custom within the church.
That's cool.
So 1610, I believe, Paul V did adopt Easter egg as a custom. But so I think you're right. Biblically, we have that liberty.
There you go. Awesome. Does that help you?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And, of course, you have score a pair of tickets to see Copper Lily this Monday at Calvary Santa Fe. You can come pick them up at the studio anytime.
Awesome. That's so cool. Thank you guys so much.
Thank
welcome.
You. We'll see you Monday. All right. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you're going to do Easter eggs, make sure the candy doesn't suck, because Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Hey, now the chocolate needs to be milky. I'm just kidding.
Hey, can we, before we go to some more questions, can we just do a shout out to one of my favorite girls? Her name is Brooke Petro, and it happens to be her birthday.
What?
That's right.
Oh, you didn't say anything.
My youngest daughter. That's right. Happy birthday, Brooke.
Happy birthday, Brooke.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
She's at home enjoying her cake and toys. And
yep. And of course, the
Brian.
Nixons will
appreciate
be over
that.
At the Petros tonight to celebrate
that's
Brooke's
awesome.
Birthday. Yeah, so her birthday Uncle happens Brian. To fall on Monday, Thursday. So I'm going to wash her feet.
Awesome.
And she's going to freak out and run.
Okay. I would like to extend a hearty thank you to the Petros for inviting me and Steve-O to the party.
Yeah, man,
now.
Of course.
We're so excited.
All, we're so
excited.
You know, Don and Mateo, Chrissy, Steve-O, and the kids, we should all come together and celebrate Brooke's birthday.
No, that's great.
Trisha, I hope you're not listening
Trisha,
because...
I'm so glad.
And anybody
Brooke
listening out
like
there,
you
you're all
Jared,
invited.
Right?
So can you...
Everybody else
thousand
awesome.
People.
Party!
Come
that's
on
cool.
now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. That's
yes.
very cool.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out
that's
there.
Good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Hey, you know, I was just thinking, and, and if you don't mind, as we segue into some of our other questions...
Yeah.
You know, I just keep thinking, of course, the resurrection, and I was really challenged this week. Of course, when you're working at in a ministry, there can be a lot of you know, stress and just preparing for things with
Super
Good Friday.
Sunday.
Oh yeah, yeah, for us as believers. But I was reminded about the simplicity of the gospel, and and when I came across 1 Corinthians 15, and I just want to read a few verses for you as you're listening and hopefully spur some questions for more callers. But I love the fact that Paul lays out some very simple things for us for the gospel, but also from some pretty heavy doctrinal things in these statements. A few verses here. Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 15, reminding us of the resurrection and what the gospel is, he says, I declare to you, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and now which you stand, by which you are saved, you hold fast to which I preached to you. And then he continues in verse 3. He says, for I delivered to you first of all, of which I received, that Christ died, listen to this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again, and it says this, on the third day, according to the scriptures, and then he begins to list the witnesses that were there. So what I love about what Paul is saying here is that the gospel, and he defines it for us, because so often, as you know, as a pastor and as a believer in Christ, you know, as a Christian, as you're listening right now, you can be asked, what is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians 15 says, the gospel is this, three parts to it, that it is the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection. But he says, for 3 days. And I love the fact, because there's always controversy, 3 days, how does that fall into scope? Is it? It seems like it doesn't make sense with Friday to Sunday and all that. But as you're listening, remember the simplicity of the gospel this week.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes focused on that Christ died, he was buried for 3 days, and he rose again. And it says over and over again, according to the scriptures, God had predicted this and prophesied. So I'm encouraged by that.
Great, great message, Jared. And I think this really is a great segue into the resurrection, because really, ultimately, that is why we are here as a church, because Christ rose from the dead. And, you know, there's a gentleman out there by the name of Bart Ehrman. And, of course, every time there's a Christian holiday, he'll write a book. And he writes this book about how Jesus, you know, became God in the eyes, and he discounts the resurrection, which is nothing new. So I believe more than anything, Christians across this globe need to be equipped on defending the resurrection, because ultimately, and this isn't just for me, this is from Paul's lips himself, we live or die on the resurrection.
Right.
If it wasn't for the resurrection, it's all a thing. So we really need to, on the eve of his death and resurrection, need to directly discuss the evidences for Christ's resurrection. And before I turn over to Jared to kind of give us a chronology, mm-hmm. we just want to say specifically, there are many credible witnesses, there's credible reasons why we believe in an actual physical resurrection. You know, not only was there numerous witnesses, not only is there record of it, of course we call the Gospels, and interestingly enough, people who reference early Christians outside of the Gospels, but there's a lot of other things. There's reasons why we believe Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah. So to start off this last segment, Jarrett's going to kind of give us a timeline, if you will, of what precipitated and led up to the resurrection. And then, Steve, with your and Mateo's permission, we could talk about some of the evidence for the resurrection. But let's set the stage with the timeline.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you think about the chronology of Christ and the key events happening the week before the, of course, the cross, burial, and resurrection, a couple things to note, you know, and I think about this even on a spiritual level when I'm thinking of this week as Christ entered the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday as we celebrated, Monday, Christ goes into the temple and he cleanses it. And I think about on Monday, you know, a lot of believers will pray and fast and ask God to just purge them and cleanse them. And they continue forward even into Thursday as Monday in the sense of where there's a cleansing and serving one another up until Friday, Good Friday. And what we find is the timeline is parallel to the events leading up to the cross. And I'll go to that point first before we get into the resurrection. But we're told that in the Gospels, and all four Gospels record all of these things, but Thursday evening, Christ eats a supper with his disciples, which is called the Last Supper. When Christ is there, he prays. He leads after that, leads his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays with his disciples there. And of course, you know the story. They fall asleep. But he's also betrayed by Judas during this time, and then he is arrested. Christ is arrested. He's taken into custody. And then, of course, he is tried by six different trials, if you will, three Jewish and, you know, three Gentile Roman trials. In that, also, Peter denies Christ, we're told. And then also Christ at the end, when Jesus is standing there and Pontius Pilate is asking the crowd, who should I deliver? The interesting thing, I think, is that you have Barabbas and then you have Jesus next to him. And just when you do a little quick little study even on the names, I think of Yahshua or Jesus as the Messiah standing there, Pilate in the middle, and then Barabbas. Bar means son of, and Abbas means father. And it's interesting that Barabbas is standing there and his name means son of the father, and Jesus also is the son of the father. So when they're both presented, and Barabbas is kind of a type of the world that he's standing there full of sin, much like the sinner, and they, the crowd, receives the son of the father in the sense of their father, which is, you know, of the devil, if you will. And then Christ is taken, you know, as the story continues. Early on Friday morning, he is mocked, he is beaten, he is, you know, through the early hours of evening of Thursday and into Friday, he's beaten by, in the Praetorium, which is the Roman occupation of their, you know, fortress and their main meeting area. And then, of course, then Judas goes out and hangs himself. And then Jesus is taken by the hands of the Romans, and he is led on the Via Dolorosa, on the road of suffering, up to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And that's what Calvary means. Calvary means the skull rock or the place of the skull. And Jesus is led up there. We're told that he is pierced in his hands and his feet, and he is put upon a cross. And on that cross, he is hanging there. And we're told he's crucified from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., which is very short, actually, in consideration of how execution was done. But he hangs on a cross for those 6 hours, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then after that,
They pierce his side. They realize he's dead. They do not break his legs like they do for the rest of them, because when you break the legs, the lungs collapse and you're no longer able to breathe. And then Christ is taken down after he's pierced in the side, because he was already dead. He died pretty quickly due to the suffering and the persecution and the beating that he had taken from the Romans. Then Christ is taken. He is wrapped, if you will, and put into a tomb. And I'll pause there for a moment. But in every gospel, you'll find at the tail end, 1/5 of the entire Bible is dedicated to this sort of suffering, or Christ's death and burial. And I find interesting, even when I look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that you have great amount of history and snapshots of Jesus' life, but predominantly you have in the last week of Jesus' life given over to, at least over 1/3 of it is given to that last week. So it's very important leading up to it. But let me just say this in the theological aspect of things. Everything that Jesus is doing at this point is fulfilling according to the scriptures. It has all been predicted or prophesied that this Messiah, this person by the name of Jesus, would do this on behalf of the sinner. I mentioned this, that the death of Christ was not an accident, but it was an accomplishment. And what that means is that Christ wasn't taken by surprise. It was the will of the Father, and God was in control of the whole thing from the beginning. He wasn't murdered, but he died upon the cross. He willingly, it says, Jesus said this of himself, I willingly lay my life down. So, brief chronology of Christ leading up to the cross and burial, and we'll pause there before the resurrection.
Yeah, because when we get to the resurrection, we get to the heart of the matter. Really, the resurrection, that's where God vindicated Christ. That's where God showed himself in and through Christ. The power of that witness is why we celebrate Easter. And when we talk about the resurrection, we're not just talking about some spiritual resurrection. We're not talking about some false story that was passed down from different cultures and Christians took that story, if you will, and made it their own. We're talking about a real bodily resurrection that's
right.
So transformed these people that saw it, that their lives were forever changed. But before we get to the changed lives, let's just look briefly. And again, I don't have enough time to go into all these in detail, but I'm just going to give you 12 incidences in Scripture where Jesus was seen. And this isn't just from one book in the Bible. These are from multiple witnesses who actually said multiple people saw Jesus rise. So the first person to see Jesus was Mary Magdalene, and we find that in John 20. And not only did Mary see, but she saw him, she heard him, she touched him, she saw the empty tomb. Then right on the cusp of that, Mary and some other women, Matthew 28, they saw, they heard Jesus, they saw the empty tomb. And let's pause just to say that women testimonies, the fact that the biblical writers included them was extraordinary.
It's huge, yeah.
Because women normally didn't have a voice. So the fact that he said, wow, women saw, and I'm going to include them in this testimony was really an amazing thing. But Peter saw and heard and looked at the empty tomb. And then two disciples in Luke 24, they saw, heard, and there's allusions that they even touched Jesus. You get into the 11 disciples in John 20, where they saw, heard, they saw the wounds, they touched Jesus. Then in John 21, there's a reference to 7 disciples who ate food with Jesus, who saw and heard Jesus. And then all the disciples coming together, getting the commission in Matthew 28, they saw and heard Jesus. Then we get in 1 Corinthians, 500 early Christians, not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're talking 500 people saw Jesus. And then we get James himself saw Jesus. Paul alludes to that in 1 Corinthians 15:7. Again, another allusion in Acts to all of them seeing Jesus, the disciples during the ascension, and Paul himself, both in Acts, and that Luke wrote Acts, but Paul himself in 1 Corinthians says that he himself saw the risen Lord. So here's my point. My point in all of this is that there were many eyewitness accounts, not just one or two. You think of a car accident that happens. What do police officers do? They go and say, hey, did you see it? And at the most, if you're lucky, you get
testimony.
One or two
testimony. Yeah,
that's the fact is, we have 12 independent testimony reports of multiple people seeing this. And then the consequences of them seeing that are astronomical because all of these guys changed their lives. Think of it this. I'm going to tell a quick story. Yeah. Let's say Steve-O, Mateo, Jared, and I, let's just pretend for a moment that we are out at Steve-O's house like we've done before, and we're hanging out, and Steve-O goes, guys, this is funny. Why don't we live in New Mexico, right? Let's make up a story that a UFO landed in my neighborhood, and he came and he talked to us. And we kind of get all our story right, and we're all collaborating on it. And so we go, this is it, this is it. So what happens is we put it out to the media, the press, everyone's around us, everyone's coming in and going, did you see it? And they go to Steve-O, and he tells the story. Then they go to Mateo, and he tells the story exactly like Steve-O's. And they go to each of us, and the story's propagated more and more. Well, then some guy who's a skeptic, he comes up to, let's say, Jarrett. He pulls out a .38 special, puts it to his head, and he says, listen, you're either going to tell me the truth if you saw a Martian or whatever. And Jarrett looks down at the ground and he goes, you know what? You're right. We were at Steve-O's house for a party. We thought it would be funny. This is all a hoax.
Why you don't bring scotch to my house?
Yeah, that's right. But the bottom line is this. Not one.
We'll make stuff up.
Not one of these testimonies changed their story.
Absolutely.
Not one of these early disciples said, you know what? Yeah. You know what? You're right. We didn't see anything. They all were willing to go to the grave. And not just one, not just four, like in our example, but we're talking 12 to 500 people. So the eyewitness testimony is incredibly important.
And, you know, to add to that, I think of Peter's testimony specifically, for those of you listening as well, I know we're doing a little special on the resurrection or death, burial, resurrection, and even ascension and glorification. But you think about Peter's testimony in Acts chapter 2, as he's standing before people, he brings up a few points in his sermon. He says, Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs of God that were done through him in the midst of him, in the midst of you, you know that he was delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. And I love that because it wasn't an accident that God, even in his sovereignty, even God is testifying. And what I'm adding to Brian is not only you have those testimonies of his resurrection, but even the plan of Christ coming, living, doing these miracles in his life, dying and resurrection would be proof. And then also as he continues at the very tail end, he even speaks of the foreknowledge of speaking concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not be left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption, but this Jesus God has raised up, which you are all witnesses, he says in Acts 2, verses 31 and 32, and he's exalted at the right hand of God even now. The amazing thing to me as a believer is to think that the very Jesus who died, and then even after he rose again, goes into a room, shows the disciples, even the doubting skeptic Thomas, asking, is it true, puts his hand in Christ's hand to fill the holes and all that so that he would have his answers, but it was his actual flesh, his resurrected flesh right before there. So the testimony of the sovereignty of God, Peter declaring this, Christ proving that himself, wanting them to make sure. And then one final thing in Acts, which I love, is even before when Christ is getting ready to ascend, when he walks around, by the way, for 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascends to the right hand of God, as he's going up, the disciples are looking up, and the angels that are still there say, what are you looking up for? The same Jesus who went up into heaven, so we know that up into heaven, heaven is up, and he said, it's a real place.
Yeah.
This same Jesus will also come back likewise. This same Jesus. So even in that whole Acts passage, the testimony and witness that the same Jesus, actual resurrection, physical body, will come back. And that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, what's amazing to me is with the testimony of Peter, You know, when you watch those movies.
It's amazing.
Peter was the bro of... He was the bro in the crew that was kind of cowardly when you think about it.
Yeah.
His friend gets arrested
in the
and
flesh,
he's like, nah,
man.
Bro, I didn't know that guy.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
I don't know who he is. I don't know what you're talking about. So he had those qualities to be that cowardly dude that you hate in the movie. It's like, come on, man!
Well, Thomas, right, would have too. He would have just like, nope.
So for a dude like Peter that you've already seen go, nah, man, that's cool. For him to take it to death.
Yes.
For him, of all of the witnesses, because you see the character of Peter at one moment falter where he totally just denies his friend. He had to have witnessed something extraordinary.
That's right.
He had to have seen something so profound.
Life-changing.
Because when his friend was arrested, he's willing to lie about it. But then a resurrected life, a resurrected friend, to witness a dude rise up from the grave and to take it and stare at death and not falter. To me, Peter's testimony is golden.
Yeah, and you're so right on, because Steve-O, and N.T. Wright points this out in his book, Resurrection, the Son of God, is these early disciples were not dummies. A lot of the skeptics today say, well, you know, they were just brainwashed, or they were, you know, following some kind of myth or something of that nature. These early disciples, Peter, James, John, they understood that people didn't rise from the dead.
Right.
It's not like they saw it happening every single day. So they obviously saw it with Lazarus.
Yeah.
But when they saw it with Christ, they were totally freaked out. And I recommend people to pick up N.T. Wright's book, Resurrection, the Son of God. It's not small. It's like 2,000 pages. But what he does is he really looks at the historical evidence, he looks at the biblical evidence, and he walks you through all of this to come to the only sane conclusion that Jesus really rose from the dead, that God did something unique in Christ, that it was a historical landmark, that nothing has ever happened since the time.
Yeah. And you know, I would say too, and we were talking about Peter's, just his testimony. What I love about that at the end in Acts chapter 2, if you read it, is that he even goes back to David and prophesies. But the finality of that, it says that the people listening, and I hope as you're listening right now, it says that they were cut to the heart over the fact that Christ would even die for them, that he was their Messiah. And as their hearts were cut and convicted, the amazing thing about it is, check this out. It says, what do we do to become saved? And it says that they were convicted. And Peter says, repent, turn away from your sin, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you this because as we look at the cross this Friday and we celebrate Good Friday and we go into Easter morning or the Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week when Christ rose from the grave and came out of the tomb and appeared and witnessed, it should do something in us. There should be that response, like the audience before Peter in the first century, where their hearts were just convicted. They were like, this is mind-blowing. How does this happen? It's an impossibility. Well, listen, that's the whole idea, is to turn to Christ and to say, Lord, I want my sins forgiven. I want to know you. I want to live forever. And that's the amazing thing. Jesus says he promises eternal life, cleansing from sin, power over this flesh, to be freed from the bondage of this body and to live forever in heaven with you. And that's the amazing thing about it.
And maybe you're just tuning in for the first time, and maybe you're just catching this broadcast and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I want to encourage everybody, tomorrow at 12 p.m. right here on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque, we're located at 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, Good Friday. We are going to be taking communion together. We are going to be hearing a message from Pastor Skip Heitzig. Yeah. It is always an incredible time on Good Friday to just pause for a moment.
Definitely.
Maybe you have a lunch break, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Tomorrow at noon, right here on the Calvary campus.
And can I add too that we also have a Good Friday on both of our campuses, at Knob Hill on Central, and also in Santa Fe at 6 p.m.
it is, we're going to show the Passion film, and yeah. I know it's pretty graphic, but we're talking about witnesses. When you see what Christ suffered, and that film captures...
And this is just a movie.
Yeah, it's just
this
a movie.
You know.
That we are going to also, after the movie, have communion. Can you imagine, I don't know if you've seen the Passion, can you imagine, you don't have to say anything. You literally, after watching that movie, you partake of communion. I pray that it would be impacting, and we want to invite you. It's a free movie to watch here locally at Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater. Or if you're in Santa Fe, you can go to our Santa Fe campus, and we're also showing the film there and having communion. And it's an evening communion, and it's nice for those who can't get off work.
Right.
And this is a time for us to pause. I like what you said, Steve-O. We should be pausing for that moment, because you know what? All of this points to something that is coming. Yeah. Christ is returning. Christ is coming to deliver. And I love that. Christ, you know, so Good Friday, it's ironic that it's called Good Friday.
Right.
It's good because he took away our sin, but think
well,
about
good for us, man.
What Christ did. It was not a Good Friday for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He suffered for our sins.
Yeah, man.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah. What's that number? Really. Again,
it's...
505-338-3700. We got like 3 minutes left. Now, you've been reading, a book.
Beenix, that... I was going to say, Resurrection and the Son of God by N.T. Wright is like a billion pages long. And
right.
For a briefer summary of that, N.T. Wright has another book called Surprised by Hope, where he includes a lot of his stuff from that book in this one. And it's probably, now it's still kind of like
for
you're reading, maybe, it's still kind of
okay.
reading like C.S. Lewis. You have to go back and reread
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
But he brings up a bunch of points. And one of the biggest things, because I know like a lot of people, I have a lot of friends that get hung up on, well, what about outside of the Bible?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And I know that Josephus, sure. there's a lot of,
history.
It's controversial yeah. about Josephus. Because for the longest time, everyone was like, yes, definite. And then it was like, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
And so now a lot of people conclude that, or some of the stuff I read that Josephus, the way that he mentions Jesus in passing is one of the biggest testaments to it probably is an actual reference to Jesus. But then later, there might have been some Christian embellishment.
Right.
And that's the key, is when you go back and you read these old sources, you look for embellishment. Because the longer, you know, we have stuff,
time,
the longer
yeah.
you have a story, the more it gets embellished.
Yeah.
Like our alien story. You know,
yeah.
depending
right.
on the amount of scotch that was there, the story would get so embellished.
Right.
I'm just
especially
kidding,
with this guy.
Calm
man,
down, everybody.
He's a talker.
But
he's
the thing, though, the thing, two things. Well, three, I guess. Mark. Mark is the earliest gospel we have. It was probably based on something called Q, which was like a narrative type thing, right?
The
Q document. Yeah. But the way that he talks about the resurrection in Mark,
right.
it's very fast. There is
very
no
fast.
Theological, no embellishment
Bang.
At all. It's like
yeah.
Jesus died, and then the women found him, and he rose, and that's it.
That's it, straight
that's
up.
All you
right.
get.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you look at somebody, one of the biggest testaments to an actual event happening is when it changes people, like you were saying with Peter.
Yeah.
But what if you had somebody that hated Christians, hated them,
yeah.
and then it changed him.
Yeah.
And that's what you get in Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's letters are the oldest documents we have in the
Excellent.
New Testament.
Yeah.
Correct
Very
me
true.
If I'm wrong. They're older than the Gospels. Paul's letters were there before the Gospels. And so Paul talks about the stuff that he received, because he went and met with like
yeah, they were compiled
with Peter and all, he
yeah.
met He met with those guys
sure.
a few times over years and you know like mm-hmm. decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw a legitimate He hated Christianity, he hated Christians, and then he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He
yeah.
legitimately saw him, and it changed him so much that he changed his whole life around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big thing for me is we go through and we're so like, the Bible,
yeah.
the Bible, but you miss a lot of stuff when you do that because we're so busy trying to prove it right. Sometimes you have to take a step back and say, you know, sometimes the things that are missing are what actually makes
yeah.
it's real. It's
you know,
a real thing.
You know, Matt, what I hear you're saying is that you're saying you need to research this. You need
yeah.
to look into it yourself.
Yeah.
And so what I hear is one word from you is come. I invite you to look at the documentation, look at the historical evidence, and you make a decision. And for our listeners, the key is to, you
yeah.
know what? You do your research.
Absolutely.
You know, don't just believe what other people said or even from your upbringing, as good or bad as that has been. You need to look into this. What makes Jesus so unique? Why is that different than any other religion? And
And is there proof? How can I trust that? And those are good, healthy questions. What is life all about? What does it mean? And so I appreciate that invitation. You're inviting people. Yeah, get these resources. Check it out yourself.
And you can check them out, parchments.com, or come down to our campus. As I said, tomorrow at 12 p.m., Good Friday service, Parchments Bookstore on our campus here. There is an entire Theology Thursday bookend and
is it
so many great resources. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sorry I talk so much. Brian only said a few things. I apologize.
If you missed any part of Theology Thursday, mystaticradio.com. You can check out all of our podcasts there. And we definitely encourage you, please come down to Calvary Albuquerque tomorrow, or if you can't get off of work tomorrow evening, at Calvary Knob Hill or Calvary Santa Fe, catch the Passion of the Christ, take communion, and of course, this Sunday, saying it loud, at University Stadium, we're going to be broadcasting live starting at 6 a.m. Details on all of our services available, calvaryabq.org, or find all the information at our website, mystaticradio.com. Love you guys.
Love you guys, man. I love it. Thank you.
Guys.
Thank you for the callers. Yeah. Thank you for all the support financially. With prayer. Thank you. Continue just to call in, support this station. We appreciate that.
That's it for us.
That's it.
CMOS Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.